Ed Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 51 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by XL Energy. Colorado School Accountability Reports brought some good news today. Bruce Morton reports.
Over the past 2 years, the number of students attending Colorado schools with an unsatisfactory rating has dropped by 81%. This from Governor Bill Owens at a State House news conference. Although Education Commissioner William Maloney says Colorado educators still have work to do, he was pleased to note 40% of the overall performance ratings were in the high or excellent category. Bruce Morton, Denver.
Two cargo planes collided on a taxiway just east of the terminal building at Denver International Airport just before 6 this morning. One of the Fairchild Metroliner cargo planes suffered right wing damage. The other had extensive damage to a section of its tail. The FAA and NTSB are investigating the mishap. No fire or injuries reported. No runways were affected, so there were no flight delays. A mother who faked test scores on her son's tests is going to jail for a couple of weekends. She reportedly was trying to make it look as though her son was one of the smartest boys in the world. Elizabeth Chapman received a conviction on the charge of second-degree forgery, which is a misdemeanor. She also had to pay a fine and court costs. Her son, Justin, who is now 10 years old, was removed from his mother's care in November 2001. They were brought back together again last February. Chapman had reportedly faked scores on an IQ test her son was taking, but he didn't finish it, so she did. The way she finished the test for Justin made it appear he was a genius. The death of a man while in Cincinnati police custody has been ruled a homicide by the coroner's office there. The Hamilton County coroner says the homicide ruling came from the fact that Nathaniel Jones' heart failure was precipitated by the violent struggle he had with police as they tried to subdue him on Sunday. The coroner also said contributing factors to the death were the victim's obesity and drug use. Jones' beating at the hands of several police officers was caught on an officer's cruiser camera. A preliminary hearing that's in the Scott Peterson double murder case hasn't created any surprises. As expected, Peterson denied killing his wife and unborn son last Christmas.
Is that correct, Mr. Peterson? You're pleading not guilty to the two charges of murder plus denying his special allegations?
Absolutely.
That's correct, Your Honor. I'm innocent.
The trial will begin on January 26th. Peterson's attorney, Mark Garagos, also said that in about 10 days he will file for a change of venue for the trial. The judge in the case made sure that Peterson and his attorneys understand that the only part of the case he will consider moving is the trial itself, not any other preliminary hearings. Garagos acknowledged that and agreed that it is not a good idea to, quote, pollute any other areas of the state with this, quote, traveling roadshow. One of the victims assaulted by Alfonso Rodriguez Jr., Shirley Iverson, says that she had a physical reaction when she heard that he'd been arrested for kidnapping Drew Shadeen.
You know, I felt like throwing up. It was very upsetting. I think he's an opportunistic, violent sexual offender that is a predator.
Iverson appeared on Good Morning America this morning. Rodriguez has a history of violence toward women, including a rape at knife point. Police are saying little about how they linked Rodriguez to Shadeen, other than that they can place him in the Grand Forks, North Dakota Mall parking lot for where the 22-year-old is believed to have been kidnapped. She's been missing since the Saturday before Thanksgiving. There's been a big setback today for the defense team of the suspected sniper Lee Boyd Malvo. The judge has refused to allow a letter written by Malvo into evidence. In that letter, Malvo allegedly asks for help in getting away from convicted sniper John Allen Muhammad. It's too early to tell yet if another highway shooting in Ohio is linked to a series of attacks in the Columbus area. The latest incident happened overnight along the Ohio Turnpike near Cleveland. Two people were shot and wounded as they drove down the highway. In Columbus, ballistics tests reveal 4 of the 12 shootings along a stretch of freeway are linked. One of them happened at a school away from Interstate 270, where most of the attacks have occurred. In sports, the Denver Nuggets got off to a bad start against the Cleveland Cavaliers, but the Nuggets bounced back in the second half of last night's game. Nuggets pulled out a 115-103 victory over the Cavs. Nuggets are off to California tonight to take on the Golden State Warriors. Say goodbye to Juan Uribe. The Rockies have traded him to the Chicago White Sox. As the Rocks continue to shave payroll and move players, Rockies pick up Aaron Miles, a young infield prospect who spent most of last season playing Triple-A ball. Do you have questions about why the cost of natural gas is rising? Questions about energy conservation ideas? Go to xlenergy.com today for answers. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Belcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award.
And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at Velcaro.com.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report's a service of Denver Water. Clearing two accidents, Iliff and Chambers, as well as Downing and Martin Luther King. Got a semi on fire southbound I-25 at Wolfenbrücker. That'll cause some delays for you down south. Keeping your shower to under 5 minutes can save up to 1,000 gallons of water a month. Visit denverwater.org for more water-saving tips. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Becoming partly cloudy for the rest of the afternoon with a high near 55 today. But we're expecting a cool down the next few days. Mostly clear. A couple of clouds tonight, 27. For Thursday, partly cloudy, 44. And then lots of sun on Friday with a high of 47. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 54 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:06, 6 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. And I just want to give you a heads up. Tomorrow we're going to be joined by Michelle Hunnevin in studio. She has a new book out called James Land, and this is why you want to be interested in her. Her last book, which I think might have been her first novel, won all these awards. And she is a writer and a restaurant critic, and her work appears routinely in the LA Times, in Harper's, in Buzz. And she lives in Los Angeles, so she's going to be with us tomorrow. By popular demand, rules for being a Republican are now posted on our website. How do we access those, Joe? Do you go to On Air Hosts? It's right on my web page, so however you access that. I think the On Air Hosts, I think that's what you have to do. You have to hit On Air Hosts. And let me give you our website in case you have never visited it. It is a really wonderful website, and also because we are an AM radio station and signal, sometimes it's hard if you're downtown to pick us up, so it's much easier if you're at the office. First of all, you'll look like you're doing some work, and secondly, it'll be much easier for you to pick us up on the web, for some of you anyway. So www.knrcradio.com. So knrcradio.com is a website. And on Friday we are going to be joined by the grandmaster of the American action-adventure novel, Clive Cussler. He cranks out these major national best-selling books, and he has got a brand new one out called Trojan Odyssey, which has nothing to do with contraception. But in any event, he's going to be at Chatter Cover Cherry Creek on Saturday. So Clive Cussler, he's going to be with us on Friday. Rules for being a Republican. Many of you have asked for those rules. They're on the website now. Lots of things that I want to bring us up to date on. First of all, one of the things we talked about yesterday is the Abercrombie & Fitch catalog that allegedly celebrated all kinds of things that kids shouldn't see it in a catalog, I guess. But I want to ask you a philosophical question. Apparently, the Christmas Field Guide features naked or nearly naked young models in outdoor settings, and it offers advice on group masturbation, oral sex, and orgies, and it sells for $7. And this is what's put out by Abercrombie and Fitch, which used to be a very, well, it had a snootier reputation, let's just say, and it sold boring stuff, kind of in the, I want to say Brooks Brothers mode, but not really. They always sold a lot of tchotchkes, too, on the first floor, as I recall. They used to have a big store in Chicago. So anyway, here's, let me ask you a question. These conservative groups, got all upset about this. I'm not condoning it, but hear me out. They got really upset about this, and they started emailing Abercrombie and Fitch, and they were going to boycott and protest and this and that and the other. So Abercrombie and Fitch did pull the catalog, but they said the reason they pulled it wasn't because of the emails and protests that they received, but instead because they have a new perfume coming out, and they need the counter space for the new perfume. Well, I don't know about that story, but let us consider a couple of things here, first of all. We are looking at a society where one of the biggest industries in this society, I'm not condoning it, I don't watch it, but it is a huge industry. It is the adult entertainment industry. All right, that's number one. Americans, once the VCR was invented and widely available and inexpensive enough so that people could buy it for their homes, one of the first things people started to want to put on their VCRs or want to see was apparently adult entertainment. And so these two industries kind of sprang up hand in hand. So now adult entertainment, some of these companies are publicly traded. We actually, there was one, or perhaps still is, headquartered in Boulder, and we had the CEO on when we did our show on adult entertainment. We had some of the entertainers themselves, the stars of some of these, what laughingly refer to themselves as film. And they're distributed by mainline companies, the Time Warners, the AOL, you know, all of these big blue chip companies, because it's so lucrative, they all have a hand in the circulation and distribution of adult entertainment. So that we had, that's number one. Number two, item of exhibit here. Number two, if Frank Rich is right, and the reason we are so fascinated by Michael Jackson is because here's a guy who hasn't had a hit in a million years. Here's a guy who, aside from being an ambulatory freak show, why are we so interested? There's a pedophilia aspect to the whole thing. I think so. He thinks so. And look at some of our teen queens, our prepubescent or barely pubescent teen queens. I mean, they're getting younger and younger and younger, and they're all little sex symbols. So isn't that some sort of pedophilia? And don't we use sex to sell just about everything, including things that have nothing whatever to do with sex? So are you surprised that Abercrombie and Fitch, wanting to seem edgy to its teen audience, and I think a lot of their audience is teen, although I don't know what the percentages are, I guess I'm not surprised that they're trying to be as provocative and edgy as they can be. Now, am I condoning this? I am not. But I certainly understand the context of it. And I don't think I'd want to have my kids reading catalogs that offer advice on group masturbation, oral sex, and orgies, and sells for $7. So this has been pulled. And I don't know, you know, tell me what you think about this, because in some ways it's almost a natural extension of what is occurring in just about every other arena of American life. So I'm not even surprised. And the fact that most parents didn't even make a big deal out of it is also probably not a surprise. These kids, by the time they're 15 and 16 and 17 years old, these kids are so worldly in the sense that they have ingested a lot of this adult stuff. I don't know what they make of it at 15, 16, and 17, or 14, or 13, or 12. I don't know how, to what extent you understand, and I don't know how deeply the understanding goes. So those of you who have kids and or are able to worm into the minds of a 13-year-old, let me know. But I don't know if they know I wanted to say ins and outs of it. But I better not. I don't know if they understand the complexity of it. Maybe they just know that sex, and if you say the word orgy, it's really sort of, you know, it's edgy and it's forbidden and it's a lot of other things. And so I think that's what Abercrombie and Fitch is selling. I'm not condoning what Abercrombie and Fitch is doing, but it is certainly a natural extension of what has been going on in the society. Now, go back to the question that nobody asks when you talk about this emphasis on sex and so forth. In England, for example, if they are making a television movie for the United States and one version for the U.S. and one version for the U.K., here's the way they shoot it differently for the U.S. For the U.S., they show less sex and more violence. For the U.K., they show more sex and less violence. And for a long time, British police were armed with no guns, only nightsticks. So let me ask the question that nobody really asks. What we have done is to demonize sex. Sex is, ooh, sex. Oh, my God, sex. But what's wrong? Well, what's the big deal about sex? What's wrong with sex? 303-382-1150. It's like, oh, it's this terrible thing. Actually, sex is wonderful and joyous and natural and the thing that men and women do with each other and also men and men do and women. And I mean, birds do it, bees do it, educated fleas do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Cole Porter said that many, many decades ago. So what's the big deal about sex? And since it's used to sell everything, and, you know, if you go to European countries, like Italy, for example, I don't know if they have the same issues with alcoholism that we do in this country, because from an early age, kids drink a little bit of wine with their pasta and with their meals, and that's just accepted in a country like Italy. And here we, unless you live in Louisiana, where you can pull up, if it's frozen, you can drink and drive. So they have, you know, margaritas. They have all kinds of drinks laced with vodka. They freeze the beer. They put a lot of ice cubes around the beer. So you can pull one out. You go to a drive-by, a drive-in situation. You get a bunch of these things, and then you weave back into traffic. So unless you're in Louisiana, you're not drinking and driving, and we don't advise this. But we don't let you drink legally. We don't let you drink wine until, I forget what you are, 18 or 21, depending on the state. I think mostly 21, isn't it? You get a little bit of some kind of watered-down beer if you're 18, some kind of gulag-y stuff. Anyway, and in countries where people aren't as uptight about sex and their bodies, I think there's a more natural, it's just a part of life. What we have done is we have divorced sex from love, and what we have done is we've pumped sex up with steroids. So it's a wholly unnatural thing, and we never, as a Puritan country, we never did get it right about sex. We swing from one wild extreme to the other, either from sexual excess, which is what happened in the 60s in the time of free love, to sexual anorexia, to a time where we don't even have real sex anymore. We have light sex, and we have phone sex, and we have chat rooms, horny chat rooms, and we have all these, we have food that is a substitute for sex. But I don't think that as a Puritan country we've ever gotten it right. So we're always using it because we're trying to make something so provocative and edgy. And, oh, what'll that be in this country? Oh, it'll be sex. Okay, let's just. So that's also part of what's going on. You may have comments about this, 303-382-1150. I was looking in the paper today, and I see a recipe because I'm always clipping recipes. Never mind that I've never made any of them. The pile gets higher and higher. I don't know why I do it. I think it's vestigial. I'm hoping to learn how to cook in some lifetime or another. But anyway, here is a recipe for Shirley Rooney's apricot fried pies. And I thought, oh, she must be from, it is. She is from Texas. In Texas, they fry everything. They fry Snickers bars. If you go to a fair or anything, they fry Milky Ways. They deep fry these Snickers bars. I'm not kidding you. I am surprised that anybody is still alive in the state of Texas. 303-382-1150. As we approach the season where we're supposed to be more spiritual, if we can unhinge those rusty door that we've got there to what laughingly refers to itself as our hearts, I see this story, and I like it very much. And I have seen similar stories, because, you know, I read obituaries, and I collect some of the good ones. I've seen stories about people who are blue-collar workers and have been all their lives. They work on the line in factories. They've never made very much money, but they have lived frugally, and they have put a lot of it away. And what they have done with their money is to create scholarships and to be philanthropic. And it's a remarkable thing when you realize there was one black woman who is a washerwoman, a cleaning lady, and she's in her very advanced years now. She, you know, put cardboard in her shoes so that she would save on the resoling. She lived the most frugal life and managed to donate a several $100,000 scholarship, or at least a $100,000 scholarship, to a black college, wanting to help college students. So here she'd worked hard her whole life and never really had rewarded herself with the way that we talk about rewarding ourselves. And what does that mean in this society besides using sex to sell you things? Go shopping. That's what you did after 9/11. So shopping is what we use to reward ourselves. Well, here's a story. In Minnesota, there is a college that some of you may know of called Carleton College. And there are a group of custodians in this college. These custodians have gotten together, and of the 51 custodians on staff, most of them, 38 of them, including a few painters and former custodians. They have volunteered to have money deducted from their paychecks in order to amass an endowment and in order to provide scholarships for some of their students. Now, some of these students have a real hard time paying the tuition. Others are probably snobby little horrible students that think the world owes them a living. But here are custodians, the very people that a lot of students look down on. And they have gotten together at Carleton College, and the majority of them have decided to have money deducted from their paychecks. They've amassed an endowment of $34,000, and they have given $12,000 more in scholarships to 14 students. They hold bake sales. They do all kinds of things the custodians do in order to keep their endowment going. Now, don't you think that's a wonderful thing? And these are from people that probably are not among the highest paid people at the college. I don't see the professors banding together to get their payroll deductions so that they can endow a scholarship. But here are the custodians doing it because they think the kids are great and they really want to help them out. I think that's a marvelous story. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
If you haven't heard the big news about dieting, listen closely. The experts are now saying that low-carb diet plans do work. But if the thought of eating nothing but meat sounds scary to you, continue to listen closely, because the next 30 seconds could change your life. Introducing UltraCarb. UltraCarb is the original carb-blocking, fat-burning supplement guaranteed to help you lose up to 20 pounds in the next month without exhausting workouts or life-changing diets. With UltraCarb, you can continue to eat the foods you love, pasta, pizza, and bread, and still lose weight. After blocking the carb, UltraCarb works with your body's natural fat-burning mechanism to rid your body of unwanted pounds. Imagine looking in the mirror a month from now and seeing the thinner, happier you. And because UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work, you have nothing to lose except unwanted pounds. Call now to find out how you can receive a one-month supply free with your order.
Call now, 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. Lose unwanted pounds 100% safe and guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
It's estimated that over 30 million men in America suffer from poor sexual performance, a common problem that affects adult men of all ages. The good news is science and nature have now come together to produce a new, all-natural drug-free option so men never have to experience poor sexual performance ever again. Introducing all-new Procylon, a scientific blend of herbs and nutrients uniquely formulated to help promote sexual vigor and enhance sexual performance. Quickly and in the privacy of your own home, all-natural Procylon helps improve stamina, urge, and desire. And it's guaranteed to work for you. Maximize your performance with Procylon. Call now for your risk-free trial of Procylon at 1-800-701-4022. It's easy, completely confidential, and it'll work for you, guaranteed. Call 1-800-701-4022. 1-800-701-4022. 1-800-701-4022.
Tune in Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon for Style Matters, sponsored locally by Aspen Grove, where life meets style. Style Matters is a weekly discussion of the Denver lifestyle as it relates to fashion and style. Style Matters is hosted by Judy Schwartz and Eve Linda Ehrman of the Style Matters column in the Rocky Mountain News. Saturdays 10 to noon, tune in to Style Matters for discussions about fashion, style, and local shopping. Sponsored by Aspen Grove. Shopping Colorado style.
Lionel with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1224 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're going to have Clive Cussler on Friday, and tomorrow Michelle Hunnevan, and the rules for being a Republican are now on my website, on my webpage of the website, knrcradio.com. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about that Abercrombie & Fitch, which was in today's paper, but we talked about it yesterday primarily, that catalog, as I thought about it, it was pulled, and a lot of this outrageous sex stuff that they're pitching to kids, I'm not in favor of it, but boy, I can see that it would be a logical extension because, hey, the bottom line is the bottom line. You may want to comment about that. And we're talking about what you can do and what your plans are and how the holiday season, I'd like to ask you that question, how the holiday season will, as we're approaching it, how it will affect and what you're planning to do to make it a more meaningful season. I mean, here's the story. I probably shouldn't even ask that question. We are so much on the fly. Everybody is so trying to get everything done within the time period allotted that I wonder if we even have time to contemplate how we can make this season more meaningful. I hope you do. I said some of the rest of us are only playing catch-up. 303-382-1150, maybe we're only playing mustard. Okay, Paul Krugman's column yesterday, and I think it might be in today's Denver papers. And I didn't have a chance to get to it yesterday, but we have talked about this before. But it is such an outrage, and it's so not covered by the mainstream media that we just have to get onto it. You have got a man who is a big, big George W. Bush supporter. His name's Walden O'Dell. And he said, he has invited Bush supporters to a fundraiser, and he was hosting it. And he said thusly, he said, I am committed to helping Ohio deliver its electoral votes to the president next year. No surprise. Okay. But he says he wasn't talking about his business operations. Well, it just so happens that he is the chief executive of Diebold, whose touchscreen voting machines are in increasingly widespread use across the United States. For example, Georgia, where Republicans scored spectacular upset victories in the 2002 midterm elections, relies exclusively on Diebold machines. To be clear, though, there were many anomalies in that 2002 vote. There is no evidence that the machines miscounted, but there is also no evidence that the machines counted correctly. You see, Diebold machines leave no paper trail. Not only do these voting machines leave no paper trail, but it has been demonstrated that you can go in there and alter the count, the vote count, without ever leaving any tracks. So here is the head of this voting machine company, a committed George W. Bush supporter, and he's going to do anything he can to get W elected. And the software, which is, by the way, filled with glitches, the software is such that you can alter the count and you will never be caught, as I understand it. What we do know about Diebold or Diebold, now I don't know which way it's pronounced. Is it Diebold or Diebold? One of those. I'll say Diebold, but if I'm incorrect, Colin, correct me. What we do know about Diebold does not inspire confidence. The details are technical, but they add up to a picture of a company that was, at the very least, extremely sloppy about security and may have been trying to cover up product defects. This is Paul Krugman, an economist, a columnist that I like, in the New York Times. Early this year, Bev Harris, who is writing a book on voting machines, found Diebold software, which the company refuses to make available for public inspection on the grounds that it is proprietary. She found the information on an unprotected server where anyone could download it. The software was in a folder titled, quote, rob-georgia.zip, rob-georgia.zip. The server was used by employees of Diebold's election services or election systems to update software on its machines. This in itself was an incredible breach of security, offering someone who wanted to hack into the machines both the information and the opportunity to do so. An analysis of Diebold software by researchers at Johns Hopkins and Rice Universities found it both unreliable, and subject to abuse. A later report commissioned by the state of Maryland apparently reached similar conclusions. It's hard to be sure because the state released only a heavily redacted version. Redacted means it was heavily crossed out. Meanwhile, leaked internal Diebold email messages suggest that corporate officials knew their system was flawed and circumvented tests that would have revealed these problems. The company has not contested the authenticity of these documents. Instead, it has engaged in legal actions to prevent their dissemination. Why isn't this front page news? Paul Krugman is asking. In October, a British newspaper, The Independent, ran a hair-raising investigative report on U.S. touchscreen voting, which I think we use here in Denver. That's what I voted on right here. So, but while the mainstream press has reported the basics, the Diebold affair has been treated as a technology story or a business story. One suspects that the small, dirty tricks that there are, indeed, given the intensity of partisanship these days, one suspects that small, dirty tricks are common. For example, Orrin Hatch, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, recently announced that one of his aides had improperly accessed sensitive Democratic computer files that were leaked to the press. And I think that was from the intelligence, one of the intelligence subcommittees. So why expose people to temptation? Krugman says he's going to discuss in a future column what he's going to do. But in any event, Diebold yesterday announced, listen to this, that it would not sue voting rights activists who published on the Internet internal company documents that activists say raise serious questions about the security of Diebold's touch screen voting systems. The decision was an important victory for advocates of free speech. Well, maybe they're not suing because maybe it would subject them to having to reveal much more information than they would want to reveal. But what's troubling about them is that they're unreliable, that you could alter the results without leaving any kind of a paper trail. There is no evidence that their machines have miscounted votes, but there is no evidence that the machines have counted correctly. And you have Rice University, you have Johns Hopkins University, and you have the state of Maryland saying that the Diebold voting machines are unreliable and subject to abuse. Well, we'll just leave it at that. Anyway, 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Bernie, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, what can we do about it? It's Diebold, and they were a safe company, and I did not know that they made voting machines.
They make voting machines, and I think we use them in Denver because I know I did a touchscreen voting, and I don't know if they're the only company that does touchscreen, but if they are, then I use their voting machine.
But if Bill O'Reilly can organize against something and get a ludicrous thing before the public.
What's he organizing against, besides
Al
Franken?
Well, he's always organizing against something that, yeah, and then he says the spin stops here. You know, he beats the people over the head, and then after he hangs up with them,
his new motto should be
to hurt them.
His new motto should be the spin starts here. He should call himself Maytag or Whirlpool for the spin.
He's a pseudo-intellect, and he knows it. But besides that, Enid, organize something. Get people to do things.
Well, all right,
who should we call? What should we do? Do you want to run an ad in the
All right, Joe is going to research it, but let me ask you a question because there are already some things in place. We've seen, say, MoveOn.org. We've seen a big internet presence. For example, when they say they needed money for an ad to counter the Republicans, they had it before their deadline. They had $500,000, just like that. They raised it just
so
like that.
Tell me where to send money. If you want to organize, if you want to start running some local news media. You want to ask me what the news and the Post.
All right,
do.
Let's put our heads together. What could we do if you were having me to do this on our website? Let's say that we got, a lot of people together. What would the people do? And if we got money together, what would the money do? Let's develop a plan.
Well, the plan is you have to develop a strategy by forming a team. When you form a team, you bring people together who want to do it. You can't motivate people.
But what are we going? What is the it that we are going to accomplish? I mean, it's to bring awareness about Diebold. But how would we do this? Are we calling our Congress people, our senators? Is that one way to begin?
Maybe, but we need to do the discovery first to see if all of this is valid.
We've got the information. We've got Rice University. We've got Johns Hopkins, and we've got the state of Maryland, which was a report commissioned. Maryland agreed with what Rice and Johns Hopkins said, but Maryland's report was heavily redacted.
So you have to have a measurable formula that is valid, so that when you go before the people, you have no exposure. You don't want to pull an O'Reilly and say that you won the Peabody Award twice. We want to go before the people and say
maybe he's spelling
the reality. 700.
He's putting the P into Peabody, I think. Yes.
Pardon?
All right, go ahead.
I just threw that in. 700,000 people voted for Bush. For Gore and Lieberman, and they lost the election. We don't know now, and now it's even more suspect.
All right, I get a suggestion from Eric, one of our listeners, our frequent commenters on email. He says, why not interview Bev Harris? She's the expert. So, okay, let's begin with Bev Harris. She's written a book about it, so let's start there. We can do that, definitely.
And if you want...
And what else would you suggest, Bernie?
Get a hotline going for people who want to meet at Panera's, sit around a round table and talk about a strategy, a formula, so that we can bring, with effectiveness, we can bring this message to Congress.
Would that be just, would we just be wasting our time eating and drinking at Panera's, or would we actually get something accomplished?
I just threw that out. I'm not advertising Panera's.
No, I mean, well, whatever, any restaurant or any bar.
We would not be wasting our time because we have to beat Bush in 2004 in a way that is emphatic and in a way that is has validity. We just can't go out there waving our arms and being these fanatical so-called left-wing liberals. We don't want to be portrayed as being that. We have a valid reason for questioning this, and you have to organize it because you are the liberal, the Democratic spokesperson in Denver.
I'm not a Democrat. I want to clear something up. I'm not the Democratic spokesperson. I'm only the spokesperson for me. If I sometimes agree with Democrats, fine. I sometimes don't agree with Democrats, and I sometimes agree with people who are conservative. So don't call me a spokesperson for any particular party. I just want to get Bush out of there, though. That's the thing.
Yes, but what you do and what you have brought to Denver is, in reality, you have brought a forum to Denver that is not that is biased, but it's biased for bringing the truth to the front.
All right, if you, Bernie, I love your suggestion, and the lines are just about full. They're filling up, and so I would like people to put their thinking caps on and how we can make this thing fly. And if you have additional ideas, let me know. Either call the show and the number 303-382-1150.
Email address, and I will email you again.
All right, and my email address for anybody who wants to email me, enid@knrcradio.com. Bernie, thanks very much. I appreciate the suggestion. 303-382-1150. How can we put our heads together and make people sit up and take note of Diebold and the scandal with the voting machines? Because you know what? You can run the best candidate in the world who might actually get more votes, but if the whole thing is rigged, so what? I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update with Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Castrol Syntec, a full synthetic motor oil. Some good news today regarding Colorado schools. Governor Bill Owens says there's been a drop of 81% in students attending schools with an unsatisfactory rating in the past 2 years. Education Commissioner William Maloney says 40% of the overall performance ratings were in the high or excellent category. A Denver judge has overturned the state's school voucher program. Denver District Judge Joseph Meyer says the program is unconstitutional as it takes away local control of education. A coalition led by a teachers union asked the judge to overturn the voucher law in November. A written ruling will be issued in a few weeks. More than 1,600 new cases of the flu have been reported to the Colorado Health Department, bringing the number of confirmed cases in the state to 6,306. Six children in the state have died as a result of the flu this year. In sports, the Denver Nuggets head into California tonight to take on the Golden State Warriors. Nuggets are coming off their 115-103 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers last night at the Pepsi Center. Recently, the leading 5W30 conventional motor oil and Castrol Syntec were tested under extreme heat and stress beyond anything a car would ever face. The winner, Castrol Syntec. Everything else is just motor oil. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:38.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett, and I'm inviting you to get your holiday cheer from Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, located at 12th and Broadway. Well, it's that time of the year with the holidays, and a lot's going on between now and the first of the year. And Brenda Francis from Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits is here with me now. Brenda, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Doug, and you?
I need your help. We got holiday parties, just any good time with friends. Help me out here.
Well, Doug, we pride ourselves on finding inexpensive bottles of wine that will just knock your socks off. Any occasion that you have, in any price range, we can find the perfect bottle or case of wine. If you're entertaining, we can work with any budget so that all of your friends will be impressed with the wines that you served at your party.
Golden Triangle is very tech-savvy, too. They have a great website where you can view sales items and sign up for the weekly newsletter. Go to GoldenTriangleWines.com. And don't forget, you'll get a 10% discount off wines if you tell them you heard it right here on KNRC.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, where variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437.
KNRC News time is 12:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by ESPN's Thursday Night Hockey. Just a real quiet drive out there right now. You will see some construction on 6th Avenue over 225, so watch for that. And also you will see the Boulder Turnpike from I-25 to the Thornton Parkway. You'll see some new overhead sign work, so watch for that. Watch ESPN's Thursday Night Hockey. Dominic Hasek is back and only on ESPN as the Red Wings face off against the St. Louis Blues. Watch ESPN's Thursday Night Hockey beginning at 5:30. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Becoming partly cloudy. Enjoy the mild temperatures today. We'll look for a high of 55. And it will be mostly clear with a few clouds drifting in tonight, a low of 27. Partly cloudy on Thursday, but cooler, 44. And we'll find some sunshine on Friday with a high of 47. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 56 degrees. KNRC News time is 1240. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Wally Prue of the Prue Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Prue Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Prue Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Prue Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Prue, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Prue, at the Prue Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Prue Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's indexes holding near their highs of the day and the year. Right now, the Dow is up 79 points. The S&P 500 is gaining 6.5. The NASDAQ is up 14 points after briefly crossing the 2,000 mark. Up one day, down another. That's the pattern for Wall Street, one analyst is predicting for the next several sessions.
I think we're in what is typically considered the mid-December slump phase, which is where we kind of go through a lot of the tax consequence selling and pressures on the stocks back and forth.
But Mark Pado of Cantor Fitzgerald thinks we will see a year-end pop in the markets called the Santa Claus rally by some. Some for free, some for a fee. That's the plan at Microsoft, announcing today it will start allowing other technology companies more access to its technologies, including its software research and code. That's expected to give a hearty boost to the company's licensing revenue. Right now, Microsoft stock is up 20 cents a share. I'm Andrew O'Day, in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1242. Sorry, I didn't see the one. 1242. Oh, I guess I... Well, that was a fast show. 12:42 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And what we're talking about is Diebold. I called it Diebold, but I do remember that they did make safes. Diebold, I think, is correct. And Bernie calls in and he says, I should organize something because this is really egregious. And what's really even more egregious, it's bad enough that Diebold is doing what it's doing, which is you can alter the vote tallies. The software is such that, first of all, there's a huge security breach. You could hack right in there. They left the information available in such a way that anybody who knows how to navigate around the net can get in there and abuse the system. So if you've already got partisan Republicans, somebody on Orrin Hatch's staff, I believe, who has been suspended, not fired, interesting to note, only suspended for hacking into the Democrats' servers and making public some of their private email communication, particularly about intelligence matters and their strategies, then anybody, it's going to be open season. With so much partisanship going on, I'm telling you, it is going to be open season. So not only have they not
plugged up the security breaches. At the highest reading you can give Diebold is that they're sloppy in their software and in their techniques. We also feel, or there's some indication, that they may be hiding product defects by not sharing the information. But more than that, you can go in there, you can hack into the system, and you can alter the vote count, and you will leave no paper trail whatsoever. There is no paper trail. So there's no evidence that they count correctly. I don't know that there's apparently no evidence that they don't, but none that they do. So this is a huge story. And the other part of the scandal, part two of the scandal, is it is not being covered in the press. It's being covered in, you know, websites, alternative media. The English press has covered it, but we are not covering it in this country. Why are we not covering it in this country? Why is this not a story? 303-382-1150. Now, Bernie has suggested that I get behind this and do something with it. But what can one person, I mean, I always say that one person can do something. But let's get some ideas going here, because if there are enough of you who really want to get together on this, I'll make some efforts. And Joe is going to try and get a hold of the woman who's been writing a book about this very subject. And her name is Bev Davis. And she tried to get her hands on some of this stuff, and of course, nobody will give it to her. I'm sorry, Bev Harris. Bev Harris is her name. And I don't know, my understanding is she's not yet written the book, so we're going to see if we can find her. But Bev Harris is a way to begin. And if you have any other ideas as to what we do then, maybe we alert the press, maybe we do some investigation on our own. But this is a big deal, because it doesn't matter how many more votes the Democrats might actually be able to get than the Republicans. There have been some stunning upsets in Georgia, and the most scandalous and shocking of them was that Max Cleland was defeated by Republican charges that he was unpatriotic, and he left, I believe, 3 of his 4 limbs in Vietnam. He gets around on a wheelchair, and most of his limbs are gone, at least 2 of them. I don't know. What the exact count is. And for him to be called unpatriotic and for that charge to stick is unfathomable to me. This means that the whole universe has gone crazy. 303-382-1150. But if you have thoughts, if you want to get involved in this, if you want to help out as to how we can do this, I'll take it on. But I need some input from you. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Let's see. I've got some emails that have come in. I work in computers, and this is an easily solved problem. Passed legislation that all voting machines must give the voters a printout of their vote. They can then verify that their vote was tabulated correctly, and they can use these printouts for any recounts that are necessary. This should be easy to do. But, yeah, but if you have a million different voters, how do they get together? How do they get together to show that in fact the computer tally is the same as their printout? I mean, I can see a place there where it might not work out. All right, here is a website. Joe is busy screening a call, but the website is blackboxvoting.com. Eric sends the website in. Ballot tampering in the 21st century. So it's all about black box voting and who that people can call and so on. So Diebold did drop that case against people who gave them information. Joe, do you see this website that Eric has sent me? It's called, okay, he's right on it. Good, blackboxvoting.com. All right, so we have that. Blackbox voting. Well, I have www.blackboxvoting.com. Is there one that's blackboxvoting.org? Is that a different one? What is? All right. .org. Okay. He says, Eric says, or Joe says, it's .org. Okay. California is leading the pack in suspecting the validity of voting machines. Now, this is from Wally. I suggest a push to get mail, email, and calls to all elected officials to insist on paper receipts to the voter plus a paper trail for 2004. Democrats and Republicans both should join together to preserve our democracy in this effort. Now, here you've got a really questionable voting tally from this company, Diebold, and then you have the head of the company saying that he will do anything to elect George W. Bush. Now, how suspect is this whole thing? He said, I am committed to helping Ohio deliver its electoral votes to the president next year. And, oh, and by the way, rocker Joan Jett might be a Howard Dean candidate next year. She's we'll see about that, but that was reported. So aren't you outraged by this? Aren't you outraged that the media that's supposed to be a watchdog is not watching out for your interests? How can we all do something about this? How can we organize ourselves? I'm happy to do it. But I'm going to need some input from you on this. 303-382-1150. This is now in Columbus, Ohio. The state's top elections official said yesterday that problems found in four new voting systems being offered to local boards have forced him to seek an extended deadline imposed by the federal government to implant the systems. So they're having some problems in Ohio, and Ohio is a state that the head of Diebold is vowing to deliver on behalf of George W. Bush. He's the president of the company. His name is Walden Odell, pledging to deliver Ohio, and he is the head of the voting company. I think if you're the head of the voting company, you should be apolitical or something, or there should be really strict controls. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. It's a Wednesday edition of Enid Live. And again, let me ask you, Bernie calls and he says, I've got to get behind this. I'll do it, but I need input from you. And first of all, will there only be two of us if I get behind this effort? What will you do and what are your thoughts on how, other than organizing, calling our representatives, our congresspeople, our senators, our newspapers, letters to the editor, let them do a piece on it. Why not a big investigative piece? Does Diebold have a presence in Denver? I have used touchscreen voting in Denver. In Colorado, does Diebold have a presence? I've used touchscreen voting in Denver. Was it Diebold? 303-382-1150. So I need some help from you guys, or else I can't do it by myself. I'm Enid Goldstein, but together, wow, we are unstoppable. We're a powerful force. Enid Goldstein, the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on what's our frequency? What is it again? Tell me. 1150, of course.
Denver's in-depth talk station, AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. It's common knowledge that household dust carries germs, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, pesticides, things you don't want your family breathing in. And when you realize that dust can be suspended in the air 8 hours before it settles, then you want a vacuum that traps the dust in the bag. You want a vacuum that cleans the air in your home as it cleans your floors. You want a hypoallergenic 8-pound Orrick XL. A hypoallergenic Orrick features a 7-stage filtration system that traps over 99.99% of particles 250 times smaller than the width of a human hair. When you turn on a hypoallergenic Orrick XL, there's never a cloud of dust in your face or a foul odor. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or a free 30-day home trial. That's 1-800-989-4200. It's a vacuum designed with your well-being in mind.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. This holiday season, give a gift that is so unique and lasting, the recipient will remember it for years to come. Have a star named after them. We can name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. The gift package will be personalized and the star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. For the gift that shines forever.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. The Children's Hospital Disabled Sports Program and Comedy Works are teaming up to bring you Hope for the Holidays, a benefit of comedic proportion, on Monday, December 15. You'll see 15 of Denver's national touring headliners for only $15, and all proceeds benefit Children's Hospital. Tickets for 15 headliners for $15 on December 15th. On sale now by calling Comedy Works at 303-595-3637.
Need a serious tool for the really tough jobs? Introducing Duralast Tools from AutoZone. Professional-grade tools with a lifetime warranty. Duralast Tools, now available at AutoZone.
Celebrate the holidays by getting toys to seriously ill children. Donate a new unwrapped toy at your local Starbucks between now and December 25th. And for ideas, stop by Kazoo & Company in Cherry Creek. They're donating 10% off the price of all toys purchased for the Holiday Angel Toy Drive to the Starlight Children's Foundation. Just mention to the cashier you're donating the toy to the Starbucks Starlight Toy Drive. So bring a new unwrapped toy to your local Starbucks store and help brighten the smile of a seriously ill child this holiday season. The Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1254 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours till 3 o'clock. Brad from Evergreen, who was on the line, said he worked for Diebold, and then he didn't wait long enough to tell me all about what the experience. So, Brad, if you're listening, call me. I want to hear what it was like and what the culture was and what the mentality was at Diebold, because this is serious. And I don't know why there's not more media coverage of it. Oh, well, of course, Michael Jackson all the time. Or Scott Peterson, as is the case today. Paul, calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Paul.
I just first want to say I'm with you on this. And if you do start something, I'll surely help.
What should we do? That's the thing. What can we do that will be effective if we get a bunch of people together?
Well, I think letting the public know, just to give a little background on voting problems. I just finished reading a book, Palast, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy.
I've had him on at least twice, two or three times, I think.
Yeah, and nothing about what he found was reported in the U.S. where they purged 57,000 names from voters, and most of them are Democratic in Florida.
Yes, they did, and they purged a lot of black voters because theoretically they weren't able to vote because they'd been in prison or something. They purged a lot of people who were absolutely entitled to vote. And that never, that was, as far as I know, those vote totals were never, those people I don't, as I never have heard whether they were ever given an opportunity to have their vote count.
I don't believe they were, and the strange thing was that they found that the conviction dates were actually in the future on a lot of them.
Well, so there you go. So, you know what? It's like Chicago. It's like the old days in Chicago where the motto was vote early and often, where dead people used to routinely vote. If you think those days are gone, they've only gone high tech.
Right.
All right, Paul. Well, watch the website and keep listening, and we'll figure out how we can approach this in some way that will make some sense and will be actually productive.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. What can we do that will productively that will be productive here? They'll get the newspapers to cover it. We're trying to cover it. That will get some action going. How can we do this? Do we latch on to MoveOn.org because they have a huge apparatus that's already in place, or do we do something here? But we're just, you know, we're just little rabbits in Denver. What do we do? Monty, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Monty.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well, Monty. Are you a first-time caller?
No, I called you once before a long time ago.
Okay.
But you didn't kiss me then.
Well, all right, wait a minute.
Hey, this is our second date. Maybe it's okay.
It might be.
Oh, my God, that was fantastic.
Was that good for you, too?
It was.
Yes, it was good for me. Excellent. And you know what happens on the third date?
No.
We buy each other copies of the Abercrombie & Fitch catalog that's now been withdrawn.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Just bring your ID. Check your ID before you buy that.
I don't know. All right, what do you got on voting?
I just came from, I was in my car, and I had to grab this. The Progressive Populist, are you familiar with this magazine or newspaper?
No, I'm not.
It's really awesome. They're on the web at www.populist.com. And the editorial this month was all about electronic voting. Apparently, Australia has electronic voting, and a private company in Australia designed the software, but then they put it up on the Internet and made it public, opened it up to public scrutiny. So it's not proprietary. It's in the public domain. So they put this out as a...
But does that give hackers an opportunity to know how to hack into the software and alter
the
count?
No, I don't think
count?
So. I think it just gives anybody open access to it so they can make sure that there's nothing funky going on. I'm not a computer person, so I don't know. But
all right.
I mean, I think you'd have to get into the machine to hack the software, wouldn't you?
I don't know, Monty, but we'll leave it there. And I thank you for the call. And very quickly, Kevin, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, I have a small handful of thoughts, and I'll try to get through them real quick. But
yeah, because we have only about a minute.
Why does it not surprise us that Brad used to work for Diebold? It's not me, anyway.
Oh, Brad, are you going to call in to defend yourself?
Yeah, all right, Brad, why don't you call in and defend yourself?
All right, tell me quick. Tell me quick
and
now.
And the other thought is I think it should be some sort of legal proceeding to get some sort of injunction against using these machines if there's any question of impropriety.
Who do we call? Do we get a hold of the ACLU and make it an issue? Who will represent our interests here?
I think, yes, the ACLU is probably the place to go. And thirdly, we should start exercising our constitutional right to arm ourselves.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, who are we going to shoot? The voting machines?
Just in case.
Just in case? It's going to be more subtle than that. They're not going to come in. They're not going to come through the door with guns blazing, Kevin. They're going to screw up the vote tallies like that. They're going to screw up any social security that you might possibly have.
Right,
and they'll put you in Guantanamo Bay and you can get some raise there.
The usual gun nut argument that they have to arm themselves to protect themselves from an oppressive government.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds good to me lately.
Kevin, thanks. Two more hours of Enid right here on...
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 56 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Sports Rack Vehicle Outfitters. Colorado's school accountability report is out, and state officials are happy. That includes the top state official, Governor Bill Owens.
The number of children attending unsatisfactory schools has dropped 81% in just 2 years, falling to 4,320 students.
The governor says he allows for the possibility of the state's improving numbers to level off, but hopes the hard work of the state's educators will prevent that from happening. In Denver this past year, 7 elementary schools and a high school upgraded their ratings from unsatisfactory to low. Education Commissioner William Maloney says 40% of the overall performance ratings were in the high or excellent categories. Meanwhile, not long after today's announcement regarding progress in the state's schools, word that Colorado's school voucher system has been ruled unconstitutional. Denver District Judge Joseph Meyer today said the program takes away local control of education. The judge has issued an injunction against anyone taking part in the program. Last month, a coalition led by a teachers' union had asked the judge to throw out the system on constitutional grounds. The judge said he would issue a written ruling within a few weeks. More than 6,300 cases of the flu have now been confirmed in Colorado. The state health department says this number includes an increase of more than 1,600 confirmed cases since Monday. The total also includes the death of 6 Colorado children, including a 15-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 21-month-old, a 4-year-old, and 2 2-year-olds. The health department says that while one of the 2-year-olds is suspected of dying from the flu, the department is still investigating the exact cause of death. Last flu season, Colorado had a total of just under 2,700 cases, with 19 confirmed deaths from the flu and 748 deaths from the flu and pneumonia. Scott Peterson has been arraigned. The double murder suspect appeared in a Modesto, California courtroom earlier today, where he entered a plea of not guilty to charges that he murdered his pregnant wife Lacey and their unborn child. The judge in the case has set January 26th as the date Peterson's trial is slated to begin. Defense attorney Mark Garrigo said in about 10 days, however, he will file for a change of venue. Hundreds of volunteers are out scouring the Red River Valley for any sign of missing University of North Dakota student Drew Shadeen. Among those who boarded the buses this morning in Grand Forks were Steve Stanton, who says that he wants to find the 22-year-old alive.
You know, this is hunting country up here, and there are shacks, hunting shacks, that hopefully she's in one of them hunting shacks with heat and food. And, you know, you got to look on the bright side of it, too. And till we know different, that's what we're here for, to volunteer to help find her.
In addition to the Grand Forks-based search, a simultaneous effort is being run out of a National Guard armory. The 22-year-old was last seen 11 days ago. Meanwhile, the man arrested in connection with her disappearance has agreed to waive extradition to North Dakota. Alfonso Rodriguez Jr. made a brief appearance in a Minnesota courtroom today. Rodriguez is a convicted Level 3 sex offender who was released from prison in May after serving more than 20 years behind bars. Some damaging testimony was given today by a friend of sniper John Muhammad during the Capitol murder trial of alleged teenage sniper Lee Boyd Malvo. Kathy Culpepper was there.
Bernard Dancy of Tacoma, Washington testified that while Muhammad and Malvo stayed with him in the summer of 2002, Malvo told Dancy that he didn't like white people. Muhammad, meanwhile, expressed anti-Semitic feelings. Dancy was the first witness to describe Malvo as disrespectful and argumentative. Dancy says they argued about racial attitudes and Muhammad's attitude about the United States. Maria Dancy, Bernard's wife, testified that Malvo told her it was bad to be black and was also disrespectful to her. Kathy Culpepper, Chesapeake.
A coroner has labeled the death of a Cincinnati man who was repeatedly pummeled by police nightsticks while actively resisting arrest a homicide. The coroner has also confirmed the presence of cocaine and PCP in the blood of Nathaniel Jones. The ruling comes as the family of 41-year-old Jones is speaking out in his defense. Although Jones can clearly be seen on an officer's dash cam taking a swing at cops, those who knew him best insist he must have been provoked in some way in order to have become involved in such a struggle. In sports, it took until the second half of last night's game for the Denver Nuggets to pull it together, but in the end, they pulled off a 115-103 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers to go 8-1 at home and improve their overall record to 11-6. Tonight, the Nuggets take on the Golden State Warriors in California. Now's the time to buy a ski rack or cargo box during Sports Rack Vehicle Outfitters' semi-annual sale. To find the store near you, go to sportsrack.com or call 1-800-RACK-USA. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Belcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Belcaro was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch Program, which Belcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Belcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Belcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at belcaro.com.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to check the roads with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Sears, and a real doozy of a problem down south. Southbound I-25 at the Wolfenberger exit had a semi on fire. Had to close the highway there while they were able to put the fire out. They've now reopened one lane, but you're still going to see major delays heading down I-25 into the Castle Rock area, so watch for that. Right now at Sears Auto Center, all Goodyear tires are on sale at the lowest prices of the year, but this deal only lasts until December 6th, so hurry, Sears. Good life, great price. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Becoming partly cloudy for the rest of the afternoon with a high near 55 today. But we're expecting a cool down the next few days. Mostly clear. A couple of clouds tonight, 27. For Thursday, partly cloudy, 44. And then lots of sun on Friday with a high of 47. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 56 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and it's just you and me today. And let me give you my web address, enid@knrcradio.com. Here's what has happened if you're just tuning in. There is an incredible Paul Krugman column, which may be, I really only glanced at the editorial pages today. It appeared yesterday in the New York Times, and it may be in the Denver papers today. And he's talking about Diebold. Now, we have known about Diebold for a long time. It's spelled D-I-E-B-O-L-D. It's never been a mainstream story, and I don't know why it hasn't been in this country. It's been the object of a really long investigative piece in England, but not here. It's a voting machine company, touchscreen voting, and they have touchscreen voting in Denver. I don't know if another company has those voting machines or only Diebold. Joe, maybe we can call the elections if we don't get a recorded message and find out if they use Diebold touchscreen voting here in Denver or in Colorado. But Sequoia. All right. Joe says a caller called in to say Sequoia. Now, what have you called in to say, look, what can we do about this? Because here's the deal. Diebold Several universities have studied it, that the system is unreliable, subject to abuse. You can go in and hack the results and change the vote count. And the head of Diebold is committed to bringing in the election for George W. Bush, certainly from Ohio. So what can we do about it? Bernie calls in and he says, hey, that I should spearhead something. I'm happy to do it, but let's put our heads together on this. Bev Harris, who is writing about voting machines, we're going to have her on, it looks like, early next week, hopefully on Monday. 303-382-1150. And California has taken a stand, and I'll share that with you in just a moment. Harold, calling from Douglas County. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Interesting conversation you're having. I'm just curious. You keep referring to they are going to do this and they might do that. Who is this they?
I don't know. I don't know who you're talking about. Tell me specifically.
You keep saying, well, they might go in and change the results. They might do this. They might hack that.
I don't know. People can go in and hack. You've got somebody who's suspended off of Orrin Hatch's staff because he went in and hacked. They had to cart away the servers for the computers that the Democrats are using in their strategy sessions on one of the intelligence committees, and somebody from Orrin Hatch's staff has been suspended because he went in and hacked that information.
So were these weren't voting machines for the public, were they?
No, but the point that's made, that Krugman makes, and it's a good point, is if that happens, what's to stop, and the partisanship is so strong now and so vicious, so that you have somebody on a guy like Orrin Hatch's staff hacking, what's to stop some hacker from going in there and changing the vote tally?
Well, I suppose they'd have to be plugged into a telephone line, wouldn't they?
And so?
Well, they're not plugged into a telephone line.
I don't understand your point, Harold.
Well, I'm saying that you, an outside hacker, somebody sitting at their computer, can't go in and hack a voting machine in their precinct or neighborhood unless it's plugged into a telephone line. Those things are not plugged into telephone lines.
Here's what the evidence tells us. The evidence tells us that it doesn't give us any. There's no proof that they are counting votes accurately. That's one of the problems. And secondly, from the reports I have read, it is easy to go in there and change the vote tally without leaving any kind of a trail. So does that make you feel comfortable with these voting machines?
Not really, but let me bring up another point. You said a lot of people were expunged from the records down in Florida that had every right to vote.
Yeah.
You mentioned felons. Felons don't have a right to vote in Colorado.
No. They were people who were alleged to have been felons, but they were allowed to vote. Some of the people, the crimes were going to be, the punishment was in the future sometime. Other people who were not felons or might have been done some kind of a crime in the past, but now were allowed to vote. I mean, that was well documented. So there's no dispute about that. A lot of people who should have been able to vote were expunged from the rolls in Florida.
Kind of like the military, that they didn't want to count their votes, like those poor people who were eligible to vote, but yet Gore and crew decided they didn't want to count the military votes.
Tell me what your point is, Harold.
My point is that there's a lot of partisanship that goes on in excluding people on both sides. And I'm saying that the Democrats excluded a lot of good military people, a lot of good veterans, and said, no, we don't want to count their votes.
They counted. Properly. As far as I know, all of those votes were counted. I'm not aware that the military votes were not counted. In fact, somehow they were weighted toward George W. Bush. So I don't know where you're getting your information, but I don't think you're correct on that. I do know that this company, and Greg Palast is the best source of it, I do know that this company that was retained by the state of Florida wrongfully expunged many, many voters, thousands of voters. Many of them were black.
Where do you get your information from?
I just told you. I read the newspapers. Greg Palast, go. You could look it up, Harold, and arm yourself before you call. Arm yourself with some information to go along with your anger. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. And let me tell you what they are doing in Florida, in California. This is in a major victory for voting rights advocates. California Secretary of State, whose name is Kevin Shelley, announced that all electronic voting machines in California must provide paper receipts by 2006. The Secretary of State, who is Kevin Shelley, as I said, also introduced stricter requirements for testing and auditing of the software used to record and tabulate votes in the nation's most populous state. And because California commands a sizable share of the market for voting machines, the move may prompt changes in equipment being adopted nationwide as local governments rush to modernize voting systems. I think this is going to be a tidal wave from California eastward, and it's going to get a lot of attention and may change a lot of minds, and this according to Stanford University computer science professor. The Secretary of State in California wrote in his 9-page document that he is requiring receipts not because voting systems are inherently insecure, they are not, but rather because people understandably feel more confident when they can verify that their votes are being recorded as intended. Computer scientists and voting rights advocates have been warning that at least 50,000 paperless terminals nationwide expose the vote to hackers, software bugs, and mechanical breakdowns. Major manufacturers of voting machines deny that the lack of paper receipts will jeopardize vote counts and have been fighting just such a requirement for months. Still, Diebold Election Systems and Sequoia Voting Systems, two of the nation's largest companies involved, said it will comply. Or said that they will comply, apparently. The announcement comes less than 3 weeks after a state task force on voting began an investigation into allegations that uncertified software was used in California's October 7 gubernatorial recall election. So paper trail is being required in California. 303-382-1150. Bill, calling from Westminster. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. I'm on the Internet, and I'm reading an article that was dated September the 10th, and I find it real interesting that the Ohio Secretary of State on that day announced that election systems and software, the world's largest and most experienced provider of election management solutions, has been selected as one of the vendors to provide election management products and services to the state's 88 counties. And I find it interesting that they would use another company rather than Diebold, which is headquartered in Ohio.
Well, maybe they know something that that we don't. Because
maybe in September they knew something that everybody else is now finding out.
Well, what can we do? You know, if we're going to organize this thing, and I don't know how we can do this. One of the things that comes to mind for me is that somehow we bring it to the attention of the ACLU, Common Cause, our legislators, every single one of them, and we keep doing it, and we keep writing letters to the editors of the major newspapers so that they cover this as a serious election story and cover it now, because the possibilities for fraud here are immense.
Oh, they are. They're terrible.
Yeah, this is worse than dead people voting.
And I wonder if anybody's done any research on was any of the Diebold touchscreen systems used in the last presidential election?
Well, I don't know, but suddenly there were all these startling upsets in Georgia where there was a lot of Diebold equipment, so I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but we'll start to look into it. And anybody who's got some research, if anybody has worked for that company or still works for the company and wants to use it, you know, come on anonymously, any information you have, we'd love to have it. And anybody who's in the election systems business, we'd love to have the information.
It sure makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It does. It does, Bill. Thanks very much for the call.
Bye. 303-382-1150.
So if you were organizing this effort, what should we do in order to organize the effort to have a really clean election? And would you sign on to it? Here's somebody who sent me, something from, all right, Judy says, on October 15, writer-producer Michael Moore shared this information with an audience of about 7,000 people. I was there. If you're talking about at the Ritchie, was it the Ritchie Center? It was at DU. And I was there listening to Michael Moore. He said that the owner of Diebold has been quoted as saying he would do anything to get George W. Bush reelected in 2004. Yes, Judy. Judy emails me this. Did you know that Moore was in Denver that night? Yes, yes. I was there, with the exception of the Rocky Mountain News, all radio and TV stations. No, we didn't boycott his appearance. We were there. KNRC was the only radio station there, and the only newspaper there was the Rocky Mountain News in the person of John Enslin, who was there. So, Judy, we were there. So I don't know why you don't know that, because I've been talking about it, but I'm going to set it straight. The answer to your question about the printed ballots, after the voter verifies their vote, they've rolled it and put it into a slotted box, and then it can be used to verify the count if necessary. So you have a printed ballot as well. Okay. Diebold is retracting, and a lawmaker demands an inquiry. Let's see what this tells us. I think Dennis Kucinich has hopped on Diebold. Diebold is facing threats on two fronts as free speech advocates pursue monetary damages against it, and a presidential candidate urges a congressional inquiry into the company. Kucinich, I think, is urging an inquiry, so maybe we bombard Kucinich with emails or bombard our congresspeople and our senators that we want a congressional inquiry. Max calling from Highlands Ranch. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi, Enid.
Hi, Max.
I used to live in Florida, and I just want to make a comment about the biggest travesty in the last election. The biggest single travesty was the fact that Palm Beach County allegedly voted for Pat Buchanan.
Exactly.
And, I mean, that was so absurd. Why didn't anyone... Well, I guess they did challenge it. They went to the Supreme Court with it. But just on that one point alone, I mean, that was absolutely absurd.
Of course it was absurd, and nobody got a second chance at it. And then there were thousands and thousands of people, a lot of them blacks, largely blacks, who were purged from the voting rolls for reasons that had nothing to do with reality.
Well, it was a stolen election. There's no doubt about it.
Well, it was a stolen election. But here is the story. What was it? Fool me. What's that cliche? Fool me twice. Fool me once.
No, fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me.
Okay, so there it is. This is a stolen election, and the regime in right now has proved itself incompetent in almost every way except for their public relations capabilities. And for us to leave them in place and for us to be satisfied with this level of incompetence says an awful lot about us. I think
it's as criminal as Richard Nixon. It really is.
I think it's worse than Richard Nixon.
You're doing a good job by using your medium to speak out. So,
but I can't do this by myself. I need you guys to pound your Congress people, your senators, to bombard Dennis Kucinich with emails, to email the Rocky and the Post and say, why aren't you covering this? Why aren't you providing?
What's really sad is that this guy is going to be rewarded, he and all his cronies, by being reelected again, because the Democrats are just shooting themselves in the foot, which I know is another issue you're not discussing right now. But, I mean, it's true. I mean, they're just, I mean, all those candidates. And I don't know what the Democrats' strategy is as a group, but it's pretty sad.
It is sad, and they're so busy squabbling amongst themselves that would be a good question. What is their strategy as a group? Max, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Brad, you're with us on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, what's happening?
You're the wrong Brad.
I'm the wrong Brad.
You're not the right Brad. You're the right Brad, but you're not the Brad from Evergreen who used to work at Diebold.
No, I'm not.
Okay, Brad from Evergreen, call us. You're always calling us. Call us. We want to hear back from you. We want to know what the scoop is. All right, Brad, tell me what the story is.
All right, I just wanted to tell you, you can find a lot of this information at blackboxvoting.org.
We've got it.
You've got that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's mind-blowing. But this stuff has been going on since the mid-90s, and, of course, not just with Diebold, with a lot of other systems. And it is. It was going on in the 2000 presidential election. There's a lot of... stuff in that book that Bev Harris has published.
Well, we're going to try and have Bev Harris on Monday. Did she actually wind up publishing the book, or is she in the middle of writing it?
It's published. You can actually download it for free off of that website. I've downloaded it and made some copies and given it out.
Okay. Well, we're going to try. What's the name of it?
The book, I think, is Black Box Voting: Fraud in the 20th Century or something, 21st Century.
Okay. Well,
something like that. But it's on our website. You can download it. You know, it's about 250 pages.
Okay. I thank you very much, Brad, for the call. 303-382-1150. Joe in Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you today? My name's Joe Pizzillo, and I'm calling. I'm the spokesperson for a Boulder group that's working on this issue called Citizens for Verifiable Voting.
Ooh. Okay. So you've already got a group going in Boulder?
We do. We have quite a few people already who've shown up to our four public meetings, and Boulder County is well down the process of purchasing a new voting system, which is why the citizens have gotten involved.
And what is your position on the voting systems?
Well, the Boulder County group that I'm involved with, Citizens for Verifiable Voting, is calling specifically for Boulder County to purchase a system that uses paper ballots, and exclusively paper ballots. And there's an issue here in Colorado, and I'm sorry I don't know the exact title or section of the law, but under Colorado election law, when there is a recount performed, the recount has to be performed using the same media that the original vote was cast in.
So if you cast by computer, then the recount is by computer?
That's correct.
And if you cast by paper, let me ask you a question.
Please.
Paper is so easy. It is so low tech. There's probably not all that much money to be made in it. Why not just go that route?
Well, that's a good question, and we think that that's basically what our group is asking as well. Our perspective is not so much that the computers don't have applications. Some of these devices that you're talking about, what are called the DRE devices, the direct record electronic devices, which are primarily the touchscreen units.
Yes.
Those, they do actually have some benefits for voters, and that's things like the ability to support multiple languages, the ability to support multiple ballot styles, of course, the accessibility requirements that are required under the Help America Vote Act, and some things of that nature. So there are some benefits to them, but what we're saying is that that device, the output of that device, should not be bits, but should be a piece of paper that is the official ballot. Then the voter can take a look at the piece of paper, they can say, hey, this is who I voted for, this is correct, and put it into a poll box, basically as they would have any other paper ballot in the past. That's been taken to a central scan location where an optical scanner reads it, and we would also like to ask that there be a portion of those ballots that are always hand-counted so that there can be some confirmation that the machine count is correct.
Okay. Now, you're doing it only on behalf of Boulder.
We're doing it on behalf of Boulder County because Boulder County is really right on the verge of purchasing an entirely new electronic voting system that may involve and presumably would involve the DRE devices. There's a group in Denver that I'm aware of called Coloradans for Voting Integrity, and if you give me a moment, I can look up their website address. I know that they've been very active. They have a meeting coming up next week on the 9th. Which I believe is Tuesday, and I believe that meeting is going to be in Golden. They have a Yahoo group that they've been doing, and I believe if you were to search for Coloradans for Voting Integrity or...
Do you have the name? All right, now give me all this information again so that people can get involved.
We don't have to take up your on-air time to do this. I could call off-air. I would like to make sure that people get involved with one of these groups.
All right, can you email me all this information? Because then I can tell people that there are groups already formed and how they can get involved.
Enid, I'm a first-time caller. You're going to have to tell me what your email address is.
Well, first of all, if you're a first-time caller, we have something for you.
Well, that is awful nice of you.
That will put a smile on your face. And my email address is enid@knrcradio.com.
knrcradio.com.
That's right. And so all the stuff that you have and where groups are meeting, well, here are some ideas that I've had.
Well, let me tell you one specifically. Tomorrow in Boulder, our group, Citizens for Verifiable Voting, is making a presentation to the Boulder County Commissioners between 10:30 and 11. It's not exactly a public meeting. That is to say, there's not time for public comment, but we would like to have a large show of people so that we could indicate to the Boulder County Commissioners how many people are concerned about this issue.
Do you have an email address so that people can know what your schedule is and when you have meetings and when you have pushes that you're doing?
You bet. Thanks for asking. We have a website up here in Boulder called coloradovoter.net. That's Colorado Voter, exactly as you would imagine, one word, coloradovoter.net. And thanks for pointing that out, because you'll find links on that website to the Denver group, again called Coloradans for Voting Integrity.
The Denver group is Coloradans
for Voting Integrity.
For Voting Integrity.
And their acting director is a gentleman named Bob McGrath, who's been very active on this issue.
Is that .net or what is their website?
I'm sorry, I don't know. You'll have to look on our website.
All right, your website will provide the link for that one.
That's correct.
What about getting Common Cause involved? What about getting the ACLU involved? And what about a congressional investigation, which is apparently what Dennis Kucinich is calling for?
All excellent questions. To try and go in order a little bit, we've been working with a number of different groups. I don't know about Common Cause. We're in touch with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is active on a national level trying to coordinate these groups. We've also been in touch with a number of other groups. Los Alamos, New Mexico has recently been dealing with this issue, and we've been in touch with the Citizens Group there. You had asked about some of the other larger scale type things, or whether, a congressional investigation. Many of the members of our groups are big supporters of H.R. 2239, the Voter Confidence Act, introduced by Rush Holt of New Jersey. And we have made many calls, and eventually Representative Udall did sign on as a co-sponsor of that bill, so we're happy about that. We'd certainly encourage all listeners to contact their representatives, as I believe you did, and in support of H.R. 2239. As I mentioned, there may also be a need for election law reform here in Colorado. One of the discrepancies apparently between the federal HAVA, which is this Help America Vote Act, and the Colorado HAVA is that federal HAVA does not require a DRE per polling place, as everybody keeps saying. What for the federal HAVA requires is either a DRE per polling place or a separate voter unit that is accessible to disabled voters. So it doesn't have to be a DRE, and anybody who says it has to be a DRE has obviously not read the federal
HAVA. So that's incorrect. Now, what is Boulder? What DRE is Boulder considering buying?
Boulder has looked at a number of vendors. I believe they started with 9 different vendors and have ended up with 4 finalists. Those 4 finalists include a company called Avante out of New Jersey, which has a which actually does incorporate what they call a voter verifiable paper receipt or a paper trail.
Mm-hmm.
Diebold is one of the companies in consideration. Diebold equipment was used in Boulder's mail ballot election just in the last month.
Mm-hmm.
They are considering a system from Sequoia. And they're considering a system from a company called Heart Inner Civic, which, while I believe the company's headquarters...
What's your group recommend?
Our group recommends paper ballots. We recommend
none of those four vendors, are you saying?
We recommend none of the 4 systems insofar as they're based around DRE-type devices.
So you only want paper ballots. And do you think that Boulder is going to go for this?
It's hard to be sure at this point. One, you know, and you could also find out from the gentleman in the Denver group, we've been in touch with the Colorado Secretary of State's office, and the Colorado Secretary of State's office, both Drew Durham and Brian Moody, have separately confirmed that the Secretary of State is expected to file for an extension under HAVA, which is one of their many extensions made possible. The other thing about this HAVA law...
Did you check California? Kevin Shelley in California, they're going to go for paper ballots.
They've gone a step further, that's right. They're actually saying that even counties that have at this point purchased electronic systems must now retrofit them so that every voting system in California incorporates a paper trail. I also understand that he's gotten some flack for that, and people may want to contact his office as a show of support.
Kevin Shelley's office?
I believe that's. I read that. This is off the internet, and of course, you've heard a lot about the internet. And there's a lot of information on the internet, much of which I would call inflammatory. I think that you don't even, without even having to go into where the conspiracy theorists are headed with this, there are plenty of issues. The number one issue that I think I would want to point out is that this law HAVA requires that certain standards be established for these systems. NIST, the National Institute of Standards, which has a large presence up here in Boulder County, NIST is one of the organizations, if not the organization, required to come up with those standards. Those standards aren't going to be ready for at least a year. This has said this. So at this point, here in Boulder County, for example, Boulder County is faced with having to purchase a system knowing full and well that it can't be compliant with these standards because they haven't been set.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
all right, well, Joe, we're going to have to leave it here for the moment, but I'm going to put you on hold so that my producer can get your phone number.
Well, I sure appreciate your time today, Enid. Thank you very much.
I really appreciate your – I'm delighted that you called in. And so if we go to your website, which is ColoradoVoter.net, one word, ColoradoVoter.net, it'll provide links to all these other sites. And
it'll provide links to the other sites. It provides links to the specifics of the laws. It provides information about what our group is calling for, some alternative solutions, links to other groups working around the country, et cetera.
Thank you so much, Joe.
I really appreciate it. I'll stay on hold.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold right now, which I hope I don't mess up. No, I didn't. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. And what we're talking about here is voting. And it all stems from Paul Krugman's column about how some of these touchscreen voting devices, and specifically you have Diebold, the head of Diebold has made it clear that he'll do anything to elect George W. Bush, and these are voting systems where you can't even be certain that the vote is correctly counted. You could alter the count, and you leave no tracks in doing it, which I'm surprised because they tell you that even if you've deleted a million things off your computer or you think it's gone from your hard drive, it's not, and people can excavate all that stuff and retrieve it. So this is a supposedly software with a lot of flaws, proprietary, so the company won't share any of the information. Security breach is so huge that people are able to get a hold of that software off the net, and then hackers could get in. So it's a scandal. 303-382-1150. What can we do about it? Some of you, Bernie, called in to say I ought to spearhead something, but there are groups already in progress. So let's talk more about that as we continue. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
In depth and in Denver, AM 1150, KNRC.
One of the season's most exciting family traditions is now at one of Colorado's most beautiful theaters. Don't miss the Nutcracker at the Paramount. Colorado Ballet is proud to feature the story of a magical winter night. This season with fresh costumes, sets, and new effects in downtown Denver's only remaining classic 1930s-era theater. And parking is free at Plaza Parking Garage with any Nutcracker ticket stub. Now, tickets start at just $20, and they're on sale now at the Pepsi Center box office and all Ticketmaster outlets. The Nutcracker at the Paramount is showing now through December 28th. Visit ColoradoBallet.com or call 303-357-ARTS for schedule and ticket information. Celebrate this holiday tradition or begin a new family tradition in the heart of downtown Denver. Colorado Ballet's The Nutcracker at the Paramount, a classic performance now in a classic new home. Tickets are on sale now, but seating is limited, so order early. Visit ColoradoBallet.com or call 303-357-ARTS today.
You're listening to the sound an angel makes. An angel visiting the Salvation Army's website at salvationarmyusa.org. It's an easy way to buy a toy for a needy child or set up your own red kettle where friends can help those in need this holiday season. Make a donation to our new online Red Kettle and Angel Giving Tree programs at salvationarmyusa.org.
How would you like to spend your next vacation with Brad Paisley, Bill Anderson, Little Jimmy Dickens, and Ricky Skaggs? Come along with the Grand Ole Opry. The Opry Cruise is sailing to Grand Cayman, Cozumel, and other destinations in the Caribbean this January. And you can be aboard, courtesy of Banquet Home Style Banks. Just visit www.countrystars.com for more information. That's www.countrystars.com. Brought to you by America's favorite meal, Banquet Home Style Banks.
AM 1150, KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150, KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:35 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about voting and what you can do to get involved. And let's go quickly to the phones. Dave calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. As that man just said, the answer's known and out there in the thing that each of these terminals print a paper ballot. And then, he wants the optical character red ballots, but the alternative, because one of the reasons these electronic machines are wanted is you have instant tally of the vote, okay? But as long as it prints a paper ballot, which like the voter can verify, and then it goes into a ballot box.
If people are just joining us, we're talking about voting machines that are these touchscreen machines that can so easily be altered that you don't get an accurate count.
Well, everything's done by the software. But what you have, as long as you print the paper ballot from this, then you have a management tool where after an election, precincts are randomly chosen, and people hand go through and count the ballots, which proves the accuracy and authenticity.
So what are you saying, though? So that you have some sort of a paper, you have some
you
sort
have
of a control.
To have a paper ballot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think we all agree on that. Thanks, Dave, for the call. 303-321-1150. Steve in Westminster. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Well, hi, Enid. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Boy, to hear you guys talk, you'd think that George Bush worshipped Satan.
Well, tell me what your point is.
Satan worships him.
What do you think about voting? What does this have to do with voting?
Voting machines.
The
fact of the matter is the Republican Party will do anything to snag an election.
Well, Steve, I agree with you on that. 303-321-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. We're talking about the possibility of hijacking elections because of this voting software that can't really be traced. They can alter the count. Is this fair? What can we do about it? 303-321-1150. 1:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Castrol Syntech, a full synthetic motor oil. Colorado schools are getting better, according to the School Accountability Report released today. It shows an 81% drop in students attending schools with an unsatisfactory rating. According to the state's Education Commissioner, 40% of the overall performance ratings were in the high or excellent categories. Colorado school voucher program is unconstitutional, according to a Denver district judge. Judge Joseph Meyer says the program takes away local control of education. He says he'll issue a written ruling in a few weeks, but in the meantime, he's issued an injunction against anyone taking part in the program. Six children have died in Colorado as a result of the flu. The state health department has confirmed more than 1,600 new cases since Monday, bringing the state's total number of confirmed flu cases to 6,306. In sports, the Denver Nuggets head into the arena in Oakland, California tonight to take on the Golden State Warriors. Nuggets are at 11-6 after last night's 115-103 victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Recently, the leading 5W30 conventional motor oil and Castrol Syntech were tested under extreme heat and stress beyond anything a car would ever face. The winner? Castrol Syntech. Everything else is just motor oil. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:39.
Hi, my name is Allison, and I met my fiancé Daniel at eHarmony.com.
My name is Rob, and I met my wife on eHarmony.com.
My name is Brenda, and I met my fiancé Tom on eHarmony.com.
There's a reason why couples who meet on eHarmony.com are falling in love and getting married. Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Successful relationships always begin with broad-based compatibility. That's why at eHarmony.com we match you based on 29 dimensions of compatibility.
It helps you to figure out you, then it helps you to find that person that you are most compatible with.
You're learning intimate things about the person right from the very beginning.
There's a depth to eHarmony that the other sites don't have.
Log on to eHarmony.com and see for yourself why more eHarmony.com matches result in marriage than any online dating service. Do it right now and get your $40 personality profile free.
KNRC News Time is 1:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of AT&T Wireless. Everything's looking good except the south end, where we're still trying to get the remnants of that semi-fire out of the way southbound I-25 at the Wolfensberger exit. We have been able to open a couple of lanes, but you're still going to see some major delays heading down through Castle Rock. For your most important calls, reach out on the wireless service America trusts, AT&T Wireless. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Mild today with partly cloudy skies and a high of 55, but will drop down to 27 tonight as mostly clear conditions move in. Still could find a couple of clouds, and it should be partly cloudy on Thursday also with a high of 44, so cooler on Thursday. For Friday, look for mostly sunny skies and a high of 47. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 58 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the parquet and mezzanine One sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Happy birthday, Beethoven. This weekend, join the CSO and internationally known violinist Corey Sorochek for a celebration of Beethoven's birthday in a program of Beethoven, Beethoven, and more Beethoven. That's this weekend, December 5th, 6th, and 7th. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC Market Watch.
Saying goodbye to our earlier highs, the three main averages on Wall Street are now mixed as we walk through the final hour of trading. The Dow is advancing only 36 points. The NASDAQ is slipping 5. The S&P 500 is up a fraction. Overall, a good day for the blue chips, though. McDonald's, United Technologies, Alcoa, and General Motors all hitting their best levels for the year. Kohl's is dipping a dollar after Bank of America slapped a sell rating on the retailer. Merck is jumping $1.66 today. The drug maker expects earnings next year to climb as much as 9%. And Wendy's is up some 69 cents today. The burger joint says sales rose some 9% last month. Once again, the Dow advancing 36 points. The NASDAQ is slipping almost 6. And the broader index, the S&P 500, is barely up a fraction. I'm John Wardock from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNIC.
143 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. We're talking about the how you can trust voting machines when there is a touchscreen system headed up by a guy who is pledged to do anything he can to reelect George W. Bush, and the tallies can be altered without ever leaving a trail. Plus, this is considered to be unreliable software. A couple of studies, one by Johns Hopkins, one by Rice University, also the state of Maryland. So this is a serious consideration. Whoever wins that election ought to win it fair and square, not like what happened in Florida. 303-382-1150. And if voting matters, which apparently it doesn't, since so few of us bother with it, then I think we've got to get involved somehow. 303-382-1150. Oh, my goodness. We're looking for where is Bill. Where's Bill Owens? And there he is. He's on CNN. I'm telling you. Either under... there. What is he doing on CNN? He's either undercover or under the covers. But there he is talking about the Bush trip to Iraq because he wants to be the president. Bill, you should be going to some of those funerals. Because Bush isn't, that's what I would say. 303-382-1150. Let's head over to Lena on Capitol Hill. Hi, Lena. You're live with Enid.
Oh, hi. Well, this conversation is putting me in mind of something I've been thinking about for a few years. Actually, well before 2000, I was getting nervous watching the propensity towards making mail-in votes, which I don't consider to be exactly watchable. As well as these computer and even the lever machines make me nervous, truly.
Well, the mail-in votes, the absentee ballots, presumably they're counted by hand. I don't know how they do them. They sort them by machine?
Well, I know, but it's just that they're sitting around someplace until. So what's happening to them while they're sitting around?
Or in transit? Well, you mean they're...
Oh, in transit? Okay, how much do we trust the post office? Reasonably well.
Well,
okay,
but yeah, still,
step of the way where there's a loose moment, there's a possibility of something strange. Now, in the year 2000, like in the countdown to 2000, Art Bell was having a prophecy. Yes, lots of prophecies. And so one of them that stuck in my mind, and you can well imagine why, the guy said, Clinton shall be the last elected president. And then I watched what happened in the 2000 election.
Oh, you mean so the rest of them are just hijacking elections? Well, Lena,
that's what happened then, right?
I hope
we saw it hijacked then. My prayer is that having a prophecy, we could use that information to avoid it. That's okay. The best use of a prophecy is to see, oh, is this where we're going? Well, let's not.
All right, Lena, I thank you for the call. Wow, well, what do you think about that? 303-382-1150. Mick in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. I just three quick points here. This has happened for a long time. Dead people voting in Illinois, during the Nixon Kennedy election. A lot of irregularities throughout the South in particular, closing out black voters, from national and local elections and all. You need verification. What I'd like to see, I just wanted to mention, generally speaking, you're mentioning Rice University, Johns Hopkins, and the state of Maryland is to try to acquire these reports, get people that were involved in them, and keep hammering away at this like Drudge does so many times, you know, be a counter-Drudge here. I don't think we're small rabbits out here or anything. A lot of times it comes from the hinterland, you know, where you get, you know, a movement going.
It's true, and they're just, when I say we're little rabbits, it's just that we're just so few of us, but actually there's so many, have been so many calls, and so many of you have really been making this something that you have been studying over a period of time, so I'm impressed at the information I'm getting.
I've read a lot about the automated systems and everything, and I'm not an expert or anything, but one of the things is that we're going away from verification. The gentleman that you had on earlier that I disagreed with completely said, well, they're not connected to phone lines, not directly, but when you have county and state board of elections people, in order to get the, you know, the supposedly accurate counts, you have to download that information from these systems, and so they do go through computers where they can be hacked into by people that have, you know, self-interest in mind. And, you know, generally speaking, Enid, I mean, what I see happening today, especially the majority party, they're turning our elections into third world type elections. We send out people to verify elections in third world countries to make sure that there's no fraud going on.
How would we feel if France or Great Britain sent out people to be sure that our elections were properly conducted? How
exactly
would we feel if instead of dispatching, say, Jimmy Carter to be sure that there have been fair elections, the UK dispatches somebody to be sure that the people at Guantanamo, you know, after all, we are fighting for freedom, aren't we, in Iraq?
Yeah.
Those people are being fairly handled, and that's a scandal by itself.
Enid, will you get Paul Krugman on?
We have been trying. He's got a brand new book out, which is a compilation of his columns. We have been trying for some time to get him on, but we will keep trying, Mick, because I'd like to have him on myself.
Well, if you need volunteers, Enid, believe me, I didn't talk to you at the Kerouac gathering and all, but I would certainly like to personally meet you and all, and we've talked before. So in any case, if you need volunteers, get the word out. I'd be very happy to volunteer.
Thanks a lot, Mick. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. 303-382-1150. Mike, calling from Evergreen. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi there. How you doing?
Doing well,
Mike. I'm a computer veteran, and I've been involved in Boston politics and doing the computerization over there. And you had a call there who said that the Republicans were bent on stealing votes. So this is a nonpartisan trend.
This is an equal opportunity grab.
Equal opportunity thing like this. But I want to say that, you know, as a statistician and a computer science guy, it actually is very easy to verify things. And we know about error correcting and verification. And when people don't employ the simple and obvious ways to check and verify, we always have to ask, well, qui bono, who benefits, and why do they want to do that? And I would assert that the politicians in general of all stripes like to have a little wiggle room and like to be able to influence things their way. And when I say it's simple, it really is.
So what do you think, but what about the touchscreen, the Diebold systems, for example?
The Diebold system is totally unmanageable. It's so totally what do you want to call it? It's insecure and can't be used. In order to have a system right, you've got to have at least three separate counts. Okay, you need two counts in order to verify that there's been an error, and the third count is needed to correct the error. And we do that with error correcting systems of all kinds.
So you're saying that the Diebold system is an insecure system. What about the Sequoia system, which is apparently what we are told Denver uses?
I'm sorry, but I don't have a technical familiarity with that. I know something about Diebold from long history of dealing with some of their systems and stuff like that, and I wouldn't bet on it. You need a system that will produce anything that has a computer. You had a caller on earlier who said that it's got to print out a paper copy, and he's absolutely right. You've got to have three paper copies, in fact, and they could easily be counted by machine and by hand, and that's the only way. You have to have physical proof, and I would also suggest that the voter get a copy. So I'm envisioning a system with four paper copies, you know, and you submit three for counting and one for
your own
the voter.
Yeah. Mike, I thank you for the call and for the good information. 303-382-1150. Ron, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing?
Doing well, Ron.
Well, Enid, regarding Denver voting machines, from what I understand, they use the Sequoia
Pacific system.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that works is the company has to program those computers for each election that they're used for. The Election Commission doesn't really have anything to do with that because of the...
But how do we know that? How do we know that they're secure? How do we know that they function the way they're supposed to?
Right. How do we know they're not programming these machines so that if you cast a vote for candidate A,
it doesn't go to candidate B?
Four out of five of your votes go to candidate B, you know?
Right. And also, forget malevolence. Set malevolence aside. What about simple human error?
Well, human error, sure. And, I mean, there was, I think in the last hour you were talking about the whole issue of, you know, political partisanship, but what about just greed? I mean, a programmer gets paid to do this, and who cares, you know?
Right. All right, Ron, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Awarded Colorado's best newscast and best general reporting by the Associated Press. AM 1150 KNRC.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
Just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
Do you wake up every morning stiff and sore? Do your back, shoulders, or legs ache with pain? Are you stressed out, tense, and irritable?
Win a free bed from Craftmatic and wake refreshed.
It might be that old-fashioned flat mattress you sleep on, but wait! Don't spend hundreds of dollars on another one.
Win a free bed from Craftmatic and wake refreshed.
You've seen on TV how the Craftmatic adjustable bed can be raised or lowered to give your back, shoulders, and legs the exact support they really need. You've seen how it heats and massages with the push of a button.
Win a free bed from Craftmatic and wake refreshed.
Did you know we give away a free bed every month? Would you like to get in on the next six giveaways? Just call for contest rules and a free catalog. See for yourself how the amazing Craftmatic adjustable bed has helped over a million people.
Win a free bed from Craftmatic and wake refreshed.
Call 1-800-853-9988 to receive your free catalog from Craftmatic Beds. That's 1-800-853-9988. 1-800-853-9988.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, this is Bill Thorpe, and I want to let you know about Faith Evangelical Church of Fort Collins because they're going to present A Time for Christmas with a live orchestra at 7 p.m. on December 18th and 19th. This Broadway-style musical tells the story of a man too busy for Christmas and his encounter with the mysterious stranger who reveals the spirit in the hearts of Christmases past. Reserve seating tickets are free and available at faithefc.org or 970-226-2095.
Now is the time to buy a ski rack or cargo box during Sports Rack Vehicle Outfitters' semi-annual sale. To find the store near you, go to sportsrack.com or call 1-800-RACK-USA.
Dr. Yuki hosts the exciting The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, airing live Saturdays at 2 p.m. on KNRC. The show is a zany, fast trip into the hilarious and fascinating world of animals. Learn unusual facts about the critters with which we share our world. Callers can win prizes during the Pet Trivia Challenge, and lots of fun is in store. Don't miss the fast-paced, action-packed hour of fun and hilarity with Dr. Yuki and The Wild and Wacky World of Pets and Animals, Saturdays at 2 on KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
157 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3. Let's go quickly to the phones. We're talking about voting machines and whether you can trust them. Roberta calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, Enid, I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
This program is so invaluable that I'm hoping you will make a tape of it because it'd be wonderful to be sent to all the different representatives and also to the presidential, Democratic presidential candidates. But one of the main reasons I called was this would be great if you got all this material together and along with Paul Krugman could present something like this to 60 Minutes and other investigative national vehicles like that.
Well, I'm sure that they know about it. And one of the outfits that 60 Minutes uses or has used in the past is the Center for Investigative Reporting in the Bay Area. And those are guys, Lowell Berman and people like that, who at least who used to be involved in it. And I'm sure that they must know something about it. But there was a big piece that one of the English newspapers did. I think it was the Independent or the Guardian, one of the two. I think it was the Independent. And there are websites. One of the websites that I was just sent by Travis is www.verifiedvoting.com. And if you go to that website, you can get some information as well. And then there's blackboxvoting.org, I think. So we're trying to get all the information together, and then we'll put it out on our website.
And but also, is the tape of this program today would be a great thing for them to have.
I listen, I love your view of it, Roberta, but I can't imagine that any politician is going to want to sit through 2 or 3 hours of tapes.
Well, on the segment.
Okay. We'll give it a try, Roberta. But I kind of think that they some of them know the issues. And we are told that Dennis Kucinich has taken it up and is calling for a congressional inquiry. So
send it to him for sure.
All right.
Okay.
So, Roberta, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 303-321-1150. Van calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid, and we have less than a minute.
Okay, Enid, I just want to give you a nightmare that I had about this.
All right, tell me real quick. Yeah, tell me in about 5 seconds.
Okay, Muslim terrorists hack our election system in the 2004 election.
Throw the election
to the Democrats.
Oh, no, Osama bin Laden becomes the new president.
It's an emergency because we've come under, in our electoral process, has come under terrorist attack.
Oh, my God. Oh, that, you know what? You could at least get a script out of that, Van. I thank you for the call. 3033, President Osama bin Laden, what can I say? One more hour of Enid coming up. Don't you go anywhere, right here on
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 57 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by AutoZone. Some anxious moments today in Englewood. Detective Perry Shellpeffer says about 90 minutes, Sinclair Middle School was on lockdown.
We have not found a firearm. We searched the roof and the school grounds. There doesn't appear to be any other students in the school that fit that description of the person who was initially possibly seen with a firearm. The school is no longer on lockdown, and things appear to be back to normal.
Shellpeffer said around noon, Englewood police received a 911 call from a fast food restaurant. The caller said he spotted a man entering the school with a gun in his waistband. Sinclair was placed on lockdown while officers searched the premises. They found a man fitting the caller's description, but the man wasn't armed. Colorado schools are getting better, according to the school accountability report released today. It shows an 81% drop in students attending schools with an unsatisfactory rating. Governor Bill Owen says he hopes the state's school accountability report numbers don't level off.
Anytime you have a series of good years, at some point you're going to level off because we have been improving dramatically in percentage and actual numbers. And while that doesn't worry me, I want to keep the focus on pushing.
Colorado Education Commissioner William Maloney says these latest numbers are a milestone in state education reform.
A decade has gone by, and now perhaps this day, more than any other single day, validates the fact that reform in Colorado is working.
According to Maloney, 40% of the overall performance ratings were in the high or excellent categories. Meanwhile, a Denver judge has overturned Colorado's school voucher program. Denver District Judge Joseph Meyer says the program is unconstitutional since it takes away local control of education. A coalition led by a teachers union asked the judge to overturn the voucher law in November. A written ruling will be issued in a few weeks. Meanwhile, the judge has issued an injunction against anyone participating in that program. Business is booming at Denver International Airport, echoing the recovery of the airline industry during the first three quarters of 2003. DIA today reported an increase of about $25 million in operating income over the same nine-month period last year. DIA's Chief Financial Officer Stan Konas says, quote, "These results are a good indication of the recovery of the airline industry in general and Denver International Airport in particular." Konas says that a 4% increase in passenger traffic through September, there was a concurrent increase in non-airline revenues, such as parking, rental cars, and concessions. The increase in operating income came not only from an increase in operating revenues, but also reduction in operating expenses. The expense reductions are a direct result of budget restraints that were implemented by the airport to deal with the airline industry downturn following the September 11th terrorist attacks. A coroner has ruled on the death of a black man caught on tape struggling with Cincinnati police early Sunday morning. Hamilton County Coroner Carl Parrott says Nathaniel Jones had intoxicating levels of cocaine and PCP in his system at the time of his death, coupled with an ongoing heart condition.
Of the purposeful act of another person or persons, specifically the attempt to subdue and arrest him by police, his death will be ruled a homicide. This word should not be interpreted as implying inappropriate behavior or the use of excessive force by police.
The coroner also went on to say the word homicide does not imply hostile or maligned intent. In fact, he says the nightsticks used to subdue Jones did not result in injury to any organs. Double murder suspect Scott Peterson has been arraigned. Peterson appeared earlier before a Modesto, California judge and declared that he is not guilty of murdering his pregnant wife Lacey and the couple's unborn son. Peterson did not waive his right to a speedy trial, and as such, the judge has said January 26th is the day the trial will begin. Within the next 10 days, Peterson's defense lawyer is expected to file for a change of venue, hoping to have the trial move to another part of the state where the jury pool may be less tainted. The registered level 3 sex offender suspected of kidnapping a University of North Dakota student has agreed not to fight extradition. Alfonso Rodriguez Jr. was accosted by at least one of his neighbors as he left his extradition hearing in Minnesota earlier today. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are in Oakland tonight to take on the Golden State Warriors. Nuggets are coming off last night's 115-103 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Juan Uribe is now a former Colorado Rocky. He's been traded to the Chicago White Sox in exchange for Aaron Miles, an infield who was playing AAA ball for most of last season. Uribe played a total of 314 games with the Rockies. Need a serious tool for the really tough jobs? Introducing Duralast Tools from AutoZone. Professional-grade tools with a lifetime warranty. Duralast Tools, now available at AutoZone. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Happy birthday, Beethoven. This weekend, join the CSO and internationally known violinist Corey Sorochek for a celebration of Beethoven's birthday day in a program of Beethoven, Beethoven, and more Beethoven. That's this weekend, December 5th, 6th, and 7th. Tickets available at all King Super's Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Campbell's Chunky Soup. And we're putting the finishing touches on the burned-out semi down south at southbound I-25 at the Wolfenbrücker Road. Still going to see some delays, but they are getting better. And we do have an accident coming in Bellevue and Syracuse, so watch for that as well. That could be a real problem for you. A hearty dinner loaded with big chunks of savory meat and veggies to fill you up right sure beats another frozen dinner. Make it Campbell's instead. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Becoming partly cloudy for the rest of the afternoon with a high near 55 today. But we're expecting a cool down the next few days. Mostly clear. A couple of clouds tonight, 27. For Thursday, partly cloudy, 44. And then lots of sun on Friday with a high of 47. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 56 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we have really been talking quite a lot about voting machines and whether you can trust them, and these Diebold systems specifically coming under a lot of criticism because the vote count can be altered and no tracks would be left. And the head of Diebold is a strong Bush supporter, and he says he'll do anything to get Bush reelected. So what we're going to do is we're going to compile all this information on voting machines and so on and how you can get involved, and we're going to put them up on the website. And the website, for those of you who aren't aware that we have one, is knrcradio.com, knrcradio.com. So access that. We'll have it, I don't know, maybe by tomorrow or so. Joe's giving me a look. Maybe not by tomorrow, but soon. We'll get it up as soon as we can. But there are a lot of good websites and a lot of good information that you have sent along. So let me continue on the discussion. First of all, Hollywood, and you saw it on Drudge, a lot of people in Hollywood got together to talk about what they could do to elect somebody besides George W. Bush. Drudge is referring to it as this sort of hate Bush kind of situation. I don't hate George W. Bush. I think he's really affable. He'd probably be very charming if you knew him, and probably funny and probably a little insecure and sometimes petulant and a lot of other things. But I think he's completely incompetent to be president. And what he's doing to this country is unconscionable. And so that is the reason I want him gone. He needs to be out of there. And that next, I will vote for anybody, even somebody I don't like very much, as long as it's not George, anybody but Bush, is my mantra. I want to share with you some information. The fire department in New York post 9/11 or during 9/11, they became such heroes. People venerated them. And when William Langevisha, who is a writer, and I have had him on, he's a fabulous writer, when he painted pictures of some of the firemen carting out, you know, pants from the gap, you know, it didn't look so good for the fire department, and people were outraged, and particularly the fire department was outraged. Well, there's a sequel to the story. At least a dozen of New York's bravest, some of them assigned to look after the 9/11 widows. These are now the firefighters. Some of them assigned to look after 9/11 widows have left their wives for the spouses of their comrades killed in terror attacks. It's disgusting. It's heartbreaking what they've done, said one woman whose husband ditched her and their two kids for the widow of his friend and firehouse mate after the World Trade Center attacks. So here are these firemen who were tasked to console the widows of other firemen, their comrades, 9/11 people. And, well, I guess they couldn't stop consoling these women. Anyway, a lot of them, nine or so, have, at least a dozen, I guess, have ditched their wives for the wives, for the widows of their fallen comrades. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. You may wish to comment on that. And also, here is the Borowitz Report. President George W. Bush today asked the animators who created the Disney mega hit Finding Nemo to join in the hunt for former Iraqi strongman Saddam Hussein and his weapons of mass destruction. Appearing at Disney's Burbank Studios with a large cutout of Nemo, Mr. Bush welcomed the wizards behind the summer blockbuster to the search for the elusive Iraqi madman. After finding Nemo, finding Saddam should be a snap, Mr. Bush said. So there you have that. There's a big story about MoveOn.org. Do you know much about MoveOn.org? They've been running big ads. They're the ones behind the Howard Dean candidacy. It was two people in California who did the Flying Toaster screensavers. They have a lot of money, and they are the ones who started MoveOn.org. And I really didn't know where it got started. I saw that some of the ads had a Bay Area origin to them, but I wasn't quite sure. But they have managed to accomplish a great deal, and a lot of people have signed on. And I think it has changed to some extent the landscape of political elections. But they are, the Dean campaign has certainly benefited. Al Gore has addressed, has spoken under the auspices of MoveOn.org. When money was needed for a TV commercial to counter the Republicans, they needed $500,000. It was raised way before the deadline. When their money was needed for Howard Dean, it was raised very quickly. So the power of people coming together here at sites like MoveOn.org is just amazing. And that power is helping to fuel at least Howard Dean's campaign. When we last left Howard Dean, he had taken the pretty smart tack of sealing his records, a lot of his records as governor, so that opposition research, also known as dirty tricks, couldn't pull something out of it like Willie Horton. Remember, Willie Horton is one of the things that defeated Michael Dukakis when he was running for president, so that George Bush Sr. could be elected, so that something like that couldn't be pulled out and used against Howard Dean. Now he's talking about possibly relenting. 303-382-1150, making some of that information accessible. In case you've been living under a rock, I'm here to tell you that Scott Peterson says he is innocent. He is pushing this thing forward, and I think a trial is scheduled for sometime in January. Maybe he was a little bit concerned because his attorney is the same attorney that Michael Jackson has retained, and so maybe he wanted all of his attorney, Mark Garricos's, attention. In any event, he's been pushing for a trial sooner rather than later, and I understand that it will happen in January. And when they asked him if he would like to plead guilty or not guilty, he declared, "I am innocent," he said. But you know what? I don't believe that for one second. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. As I said, a bunch of Hollywood people gathered. Hollywood's new generation power and money brokers gathered last night in Beverly Hills to organize and streamline fundraising efforts to unseat President Bush. "We're going to take our country back," declared a voice in the crowd, which was greeted by cheers at the Hilton. "Bush is the great unifier. We are unified against him and his policies." Remember? He said, "I'm a uniter, not a divider." Well, I don't know whether there has been as divisive a president in the history of the country, but certainly within my memory, I cannot recall a president this divisive. Well, maybe Clinton, because the conservatives hated his guts. But so many people are so upset about George Bush and what he is doing to this country. And yet, it is the conservatives who are criticizing the liberals for being uncivil, engaging in incivility, when they were the ones leading the charge when it came to Clinton. I think we can't be feisty enough. I think to put your white gloves on and hoist your cup of tea with your little pinky finger raised in the air is not the way that's going to solve this problem. I think it has to be a feisty battle. It has to be the rough and tumble of politics and public opinion. It has to be people who are willing to do the hands-on work here and to get their hands dirty doing whatever needs to be done. I mean, just this is day labor. And it's kind of fun to me. Listen, when I was living in California, I would do this, and I did it as a civic duty, and I did it because actually it was kind of fun to do. I would work some of the elections. I enjoyed it. It was a day where you got to meet your neighbors, and so much of California is so hilly, at least in Marin County, that I remember living in one place where I had a neighbor up the hill to my left and down the hill to my right. And because the terrain is so hilly, it's not like it's all flat and you meet your neighbors so easily. You really don't. In some ways, the geography or the topography keeps you from knowing who your neighbors are. So I was really happy to work some of the elections. I did it once because they really needed people and they had a shortage, and I thought, well, I could do that. And I did it one day, and I enjoyed it. I wound up liking it. And it was a wonderful way to get involved in the community. And somebody I know, whose name is now Charlotte Maillard Swig Schultz, married to George Schultz, a former Secretary of State and big Republican powerhouse. She's had a lot of powerhouse husbands. And she said to me one time, Enid, she was a beauty queen from Texas. And she was the chief of protocol in San Francisco for a while. And she is just a good time party girl. And everybody likes Charlotte. Charlotte said, Enid, she said, when my girlfriends ask me, how did you marry all these men? I say to them, get involved in politics. And you know what? She's right. That's where she met a lot of them, a lot of her husbands. One of the things that we have been talking about is that Medicare bill that is so horrible, it's going to tax us into perpetuity. It's so expensive. And the cost-to-benefit ratio is so small, it gives us so little for what it will cost. It has given the drug companies and it has given the insurers everything they wanted, but it's not giving very much to seniors, and if it doesn't bankrupt us completely. Well, here's what we're trying to do. We are trying to muscle Australia. Having beaten back price controls on prescription drugs in the U.S., the American pharmaceutical industry is trying to roll them back overseas with the help of the administration and Congress. In talks over a free trade agreement with Australia, American officials are pressing to water down the system under which Australian government negotiates the prices it pays for prescription drugs. The Australian minister, is saying that the American negotiators had raised this as a sort of core issue. If successful, the U.S. could use this agreement as a benchmark for trade deals with other rich nations. In other words, there would be fewer price controls on what you pay for drugs in countries like Australia. If you want to do business with the United States, then what we are asking Australia to do, essentially, in this trade agreement, is to not impose so many price controls on prescription drugs. Like in Canada, for example. The reason American seniors are running over the border to Canada to get their prescription meds is because Canada uses its vast purchasing power and it imposes price controls on those drugs. We won't do that because pharmaceutical companies, drug companies are some of the biggest contributors in America to politicians. And so we're not going to do that. And we want to enhance their profits. So we are going to muscle into other countries like Australia, and we're going to tell them to water down their price controls on drugs, on meds. Good luck for trying, but I hope Australia toes the line. Because if Australia doesn't, then what's going to happen is it's going to set a precedent, and any countries that we negotiate trade agreements with, that's going to be one of the first things they're going to have to do. They're going to have to water down any price controls they might have on drugs. Prescription drugs. Well, if you own the drug company, if you're a shareholder in the drug companies, that's great for you. I may be a shareholder in a drug company, but I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair. I'm sorry. I don't think it's fair. So, I just want to bring this to your attention. And one of the things that the FDA is doing is cracking down on the importation of Canadian drugs. Never mind that you can seem to be able to get everything you want without prescriptions on the internet, but the FDA is not only cracking down on the importation of drugs, but it's telling you that a lot of these drugs are counterfeit. However, the FDA apparently lacks proof that any Canadian drugs will harm you. Although they've been warning Americans about the dangers of prescription drugs from Canada for nearly a year, U.S. Food and Drug Administration officials cannot name a single American who's been injured or killed by drugs brought from licensed Canadian pharmacies. I bring you this information because, once again, another dishonesty from this administration. They're cracking down. They're not telling you what. The reason they're cracking down is they want to make universe safe for American pharmaceutical industry. That's why they're cracking down. But they can't tell you that. And they can't say the reason we're cracking down is that we want you to pay three times what you could pay if you buy three times the price of the Canadian drug. They're not telling you that because it wouldn't fly. What they're telling you is they're using fear tactics. Does this sound familiar? Fear tactics, scare tactics. Well, you better not use that stuff from Canada. Hey, it's counterfeit. It could hurt you. It could kill you. Oh, well, you save a few bucks, but it'll kill you. They can't point to one person that has been injured or killed when anybody has gone to a real Canadian pharmacy for their meds. But once again, fear. Fear is a big industry. And this administration knows how to use it. And as we get closer to the election, they're going to pull out all the stops because those folks want to keep their jobs and they want to make their friends happy and they want to line their pockets for four more years and they want to decimate the country. So you can't let it happen. You can't sit back and say, well, I think I'll switch the channel now with my remote. You got to get off the couch and do something. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNIC.
Don't just give a gift, give the good life. This Wednesday and Thursday at Sears, save an incredible 50% on hundreds of items across the store, like men's and women's sweaters, tools, and game tables. Plus, save 50% on all fine jewelry. But these savings are for 2 days only, so hurry into Sears this Wednesday and Thursday. The holidays are here. Give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Find us online at Sears.com or at America Online, keyword Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale dates December 3rd and 4th.
Store up on great holiday gifts this week at Pep Boys. Buy a Razor electric scooter, incredibly priced at only $99. At Pep Boys, you'll find plenty of new and exciting products at unbelievable prices. Save on an 18-volt cordless drill and flashlight combo for just $29.99. And for a limited time, get a free $50 Pep Boys shopping card when you buy four select Futura tires. See Pep Boys ad in Sunday's paper for details and more unbelievable values. Pep Boys, we're car people.
What a beautiful day for the action here as Bob steps onto the front lawn and makes his approach.
Tom, last round he was in real pain. Let's see how he does raking these leaves.
Whoa, what flexibility, Bill.
And look at the bend in his knees around those bushes.
You know, the kids in the clubhouse say he uses ultra-strength Bengay on his sore muscles and aching joints.
That deep penetrating heat is a stroke of genius.
He's on his last leaf now. A clean sweep and he does it!
Yes.
The whole yard in one pile.
For muscle and joint pain, put relief into action with ultra-strength Bengay. Use as directed for temporary pain relief.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
You know, the thing about winning awards is that you have to say award-winning this and award-winning that. And frankly, it's very tiring for a voice talent like myself.
Where's your Mai Tai, sir?
Thanks. But just in case you didn't know, you can download clips of award-winning news features and guest interviews from our award-winning website, made by an award-winning designer featuring award-winning hosts. Well, it's true. KNRCRadio.com has it all. But if somebody at the station wins a Nobel Prize, I'm out of here.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:24 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. I just got this from Joe. If you recall, we had State Senator Ken Gordon on, I guess on Monday, because of the success, the Democrats were successful in beating back the Republican attempts to redistrict Colorado. They've tried to do that in Texas as well. And at the time, I asked Senator Gordon if he knew about the Secretary of State in Colorado trying to make it a rule or trying to, I forget now the language here, but if you're an incumbent, you would be able to get all these donations that you couldn't get if you weren't an incumbent, and I don't think you would have to report them. I forget what it was, but it was something really underhanded. Common Cause got behind it. And Joe Anderson, our producer, he headlines a successful activism, but there was a hearing, and the office received 575 email comments opposing this particular issue, and so it looks like this is the efforts to make sure that the Colorado Secretary of State drops a proposed rule that would allow incumbents in Colorado to accept unlimited contributions that would not be fully reportable. So that means if you're an incumbent, you have this tremendous advantage if this would go through. This is so unfair. So Common Cause was on it, and apparently 575 emails were received, and the opposing that rule, and so let's see, this is a terrific response. They moved the hearing to a larger room. So what's going to happen? Are they going to drop it or not? They're hoping that they drop it. I don't know if it has been dropped exactly, but the effort is on to drop the rule. Has it been dropped, Joe? No, I don't think so. But I think they're so 575 emails are going a long way. So let get on the Common Cause. Let's see. It's causenet@commoncause.org. causenet@commoncause.org. But the idea of letting the Secretary of State propose a rule that would allow incumbents in Colorado to accept unlimited contributions that would not be fully reportable. So you have a lot of Republicans in office, and it would keep those people in power. I don't think that's fair. If you're a candidate and you're at a disadvantage from the beginning. So it's a successful example of activism, but I don't think the fight has been won yet. 303-382-1150. New poll. 7 in 10 Americans do not think that the war in Iraq has reduced the threat of terrorism. Isn't that amazing? Well, we knew that right away. We knew that before the war, actually. President Bush and administration officials frequently say the efforts in Iraq are central to winning the war on terror. Attacks on U.S. troops in Iraq have been sharply increasing throughout the fall, and terrorists have struck targets in Turkey and Saudi Arabia in recent weeks. Despite apparent uneasiness with this country's military presence in Iraq, 2/3 say they don't think U.S. troops should withdraw until there is a stable government, but that's down 14 points from April. However, most Iraqis don't feel like we are protecting them very well. They're not too happy with the situation. And in this new poll, 7 in 10 Americans do not think that the war in Iraq has reduced the threat of terrorism. This according to a brand new poll. I want to share with you a letter. We talked about the fire department in New York, which was tasked with consoling the widows of 9/11. Well, a dozen of them or more have ditched their wives and children for some of these widows. So I don't know. That didn't work out so well, I think. That is the law of unintended consequences. Here's a letter written to President Bush. This is from an open letter to the President of the United States. And she is a 9/11 victim. She said, Mr. Bush, I want to read this to you. This open letter is coming from my heart. I want you to know that I'm neither a Republican nor a Democrat and that this is not my attempt to bash the government. You, Mr. Bush, should be held responsible and liable for any and all acts that were committed to aid in any cover-up of the tragic events of 9/11. As president, you have a duty to protect the American people. On 9/11, you did not instruct your staff to issue a nationwide emergency warning alert to advise us of the attack on America. We had to receive the news of the attack via the news networks. In the months leading up to the attacks, you were repeatedly advised of a possible attack on American soil. During your daily intelligence briefings, you were given information that had been uncovered, that the very real possibility existed that certain undesirable elements would use commercial aircraft to destroy certain target buildings. You never warned the American people of this possible threat. Who were you protecting? When you took no responsibility toward protecting the general public from the possibility of attack, you were certainly not upholding the oath you spoke when you took office. In that oath, you pledged to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. On the morning of the attack, you and members of your staff were fully aware of the unfolding events, yet you chose to continue on to the Emma E. Booker Elementary School to proceed with the scheduled event and photo op. While our nation was under attack, you did not appear to blink an eye or shed a tear. You continued on as if everything was business as usual. In the days following the attacks, all air traffic was grounded, and Americans, including myself, were stranded wherever they had been when the flight ban was imposed. I was stranded at Midway Airport in Chicago, unable to continue on to California for my daughter's wedding. Imagine my surprise when I later found out that during this no-fly period, a number of people were flown out of the country on a 747 with Arabic lettering on the fuselage. None of these people were interviewed or questioned by any local, state, or federal agencies. Why were they allowed to leave, and who exactly was on that flight? We know for a fact that some of the people on the flight were members of or related to the royal family of Saudi Arabia and members of the Bin Laden family. Were these people allowed to leave because of the long-standing relationships that your family has with both families? It is my belief that you intentionally allowed 9/11 to happen to gather public support for a war on terrorism. These wars in Afghanistan and Iraq have not accomplished what you stated were your goals. Why have you not captured Osama bin Laden? Where are Saddam's weapons of mass destruction? All that has happened is a bill that has passed before Congress for $87 billion to rebuild what you ordered blown to bits. As an American who lost a loved one in the war on terror, I do pray and support our troops who were sent to Afghanistan and Iraq by you. These troops have and will continue to die for your lives. As an American, I can make this statement as it appears that associates of your family may stand to prosper from the rebuilding of Afghanistan and Iraq. And then she goes on. She says, we, the families of the 9/11 victims, need to have answers to the following questions. Why were 29 pages of the 9/11 committee report personally censored at your request? Where are the black boxes from flights 11 and 175? Where are the voice recorders from flights 11 and 175? Why can't we gain access to the complete air traffic traffic control records for flights 11 and 175? Where are their airport surveillance tapes to show that the passengers boarding the doomed flights? When will complete passenger lists for all the flights be released? How did your brother Jeb, governor of Florida, go to the offices of the Hoffman Aviation School in order that flight records and files be removed? Did he? I don't know, but this is what she's alleging. These files were then put on a C-130 government cargo plane and flown out of the country. Where were they taken, and who ordered it done? It has been over 2 years since hundreds of our lost ones' remains have still yet to be identified, and the remains placed in a landfill at Fresh Kill. We want our heroes brought back and given a public and proud resting place where we all can pay our respects and honor them. These innocent people never had a chance as they were taken with us on that sad September day. So this is one of the victims, a woman named Ellen Mariani, and she's putting out this open letter to President Bush. And in fact, one of the 9/11 commissions trying to get records from the White House, they don't want to make them available because they're saying that some of them are classified. And so what they've done is they've struck a deal. They will edit these things first, and they'll go over them first, and then they'll share them with some of the top people in one of these 9/11 committees. Now, I don't think that's right. They will censor them effectively is what they're going to do first before they make them available. So you're never going to get the straight story. And this particular committee that's investigating actually does have the power of subpoena. So that committee should be subpoenaing these documents from the White House. They cave too easily, I think. And I think it's a scandal that the White House isn't more forthcoming. And then you have to ask the question, why aren't they not more forthcoming? I mean, this was such a tragedy. And here's President Bush being like a leader, okay, when it doesn't involve anything. He was Mr. Scaredy Pants when, if he thought going to Baghdad, if they encountered anything on the way to Baghdad, they were going to turn right around. That has been reported. He goes to Baghdad in an army jacket. He lands on the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln with a Tom Cruise flight suit on. I mean, this is a guy who was AWOL. This is a guy who didn't fight when he could have. This is a guy who, when the nation needed leadership, was like a chicken with his head cut off. They ran him from one airport to another airport. He never, until 10 or 12 hours later. Do you remember that? He never spoke to the American people. He never said, let's have courage. We are under attack. He didn't do anything. The only thing he did is he spirited the Bin Laden family out, apparently. But he didn't stop doing what he was doing. He still continued reading in that elementary school. Remember that? Somebody whispered in his ear. He didn't immediately say, we are under attack and I can't do this right now. Excuse me, I have a nation to run, not a classroom to read to. He didn't do any of that. And they don't want to make any of these documents forthcoming. So for this president to dress himself up in military garb for a photo op like he's in a film every time it's a different branch of the service, please, when he was sort of AWOL, maybe even a deserter in his own National Guard service. He couldn't even do the National Guard, which kept him out of Vietnam. He couldn't even bother to show up to that for at least a year, maybe longer. And he didn't act like a leader after 9/11. Think of the royal family, the British royal family during World War II. They famously appeared everywhere. They were there to bolster the country. They didn't get flown from one bunker to another. What did the Queen Mother say, Queen Mother Elizabeth say at that time when people were saying, well, send your children to Canada, at least protect them? She said, my children will not go to Canada without me, and I will not go without the king, and the king isn't going. So that was it. They were going to stand, they were going to stay there, and they were going to provide support and inspiration to their own people. I don't think we're getting it from this administration. We're getting the most self-serving administration that I can ever recall. These are people who want to line the pockets of their cronies and themselves. And if you stand for it and they want to do it on your backs, the backs of the middle class, the working poor, if you want to vote against your own interests, I can only think that you've become masochistic. 303-382-1150, and then we're going to have to put Prozac in all the drinking water along with that fluoride. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 55 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Hallmark Channel. Sinclair Middle School in Englewood was on lockdown for about 90 minutes today after police received a 911 call saying that a man had entered the school with a gun in his waistband. Officers searched the school, found the man fitting the description, but he was unarmed. Things are back to normal at the school now. The state school accountability report is out and shows a big improvement in Colorado schools. Education Commissioner William Maloney says today's report validates that school reform in Colorado is working. Meanwhile, a Denver district judge has issued an injunction against anyone participating in the state school voucher program. Judge Joseph Meyer says the program is unconstitutional because it takes away local control of education. He'll release a written ruling within a few weeks. In sports, the Denver Nuggets take on the Golden State Warriors tonight in California. Nuggets are coming off their 115-103 win last night over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Don't miss the original holiday television premiere, A Carol Christmas, starring Tori Spelling and William Shatner this Sunday at 6 p.m., only on the Hallmark Channel, where great holiday stories come to life. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:37.
Jim Condor here talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear the best in the city and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your flex dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your flex dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, International Optique is hosting a fabulous trunk show at Tamarack Square on Saturday, December 6th, with 15 of our sales reps showing their entire collections. It's like going to a trade show. If you can't find a frame at the trunk show, the frame doesn't exist.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, join International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
KNRC News Time is 2:38. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of AT&T Wireless, clearing up an accident at Bellevue and Syracuse in the Tech Center. Everything else looking good. Finally got the accident southbound I-25 at the Wolfenberger exit up and out of the way. Things are getting back to normal around heading down to Colorado Springs. For your most important calls, reach out on the wireless service America trusts, AT&T Wireless. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Becoming partly cloudy. Enjoy the mild temperatures today. We'll look for a high of 55, and it will be mostly clear with a few clouds drifting in tonight, a low of 27. Partly cloudy on Thursday, but cooler, 44. And we'll find some sunshine on Friday with a high of 47. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 55 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Are you tired of the weight loss battle? Do you find yourself feeling desperate to lose weight and keep it off? Listen to what UltraCarb users are saying about their experiences.
I've been on UltraCarb for 2 weeks. I've lost a total of 10 pounds, and I cannot believe it.
In the first 9 days since using UltraCarb, I lost 10 pounds. It's the only thing that's worked for me, and I am so excited to get down to my goal weight. Right now, I'm losing 20 pounds a month, and within 6 weeks, I'll have reached my goal. UltraCarb is amazing, and I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to lose this weight.
Whoever said losing weight has to be difficult has not used UltraCarb. UltraCarb works by blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. If you want to lose up to 20 pounds and 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes per month, call now. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or receive a full refund. Call now to look and feel better about yourself.
Call 1-800-451-6432 and find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. That's 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages finished mixed following a late-day sell-off. The Dow Industrials rose 20 points to 98.73. The Nasdaq crossed the 2,000 mark for the first time in nearly 2 years before closing down 20 points to 1960. The S&P 500 slid 2 points to 1,065. Big board volume was 1.4 billion shares. Decliners beat advancers by roughly 6-5 margin. The market's early gains were prompted by a better-than-expected report on third-quarter productivity. It also was the best reading in 20 years. GM provided the Dow's biggest lift today, driving 5% higher after Goldman Sachs said the automaker could raise next year's profit outlook. Merck also one of the Dow's top performers, adding $1.50 a share. The drug maker sees improvement next year, saying it expects profits to climb by as much as 9%. Once again, the Dow up 20. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Closes your phone. 303-382-1150. KNIC.
241 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And a lot of you are calling in and want to know where you can get a hold of this open letter from 9/11 victim Ellen Mariani. It looks like her husband is who died in the 9/11 tragedy, and it's an open letter to President Bush, but it references the Ellen Mariani lawsuit. So she's threatening to sue President Bush. I don't know how she's going to do this. She said, in the court of public opinion, Mr. Bush, your lives are being uncovered each day. My husband, all the other victims and their families, and our nation as a whole has been victimized by your failed leadership prior to and after 9/11. I will prove this in a court of law. So how she's going to do this, I don't know. But many of you are interested in this open letter. And it was sent by one of you sent this to me, and I can't exactly access this right now, but whoever did, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And you can, if you want to access this on the web, you can do it. The site is Infowars.com, Infowars.com. It's an open letter to the President of the United States by 9/11 victim, asking why there haven't been answers, why they're stonewalling. And she says she's gonna do a lawsuit. Now, I don't know who she can sue. Can you sue the president for something like this? Wait, wasn't the president being sued? He was in the Paula Jones matter, right? Remember Bill Clinton got sued? So maybe George Bush can be sued, too. I don't know. 303, if you're an attorney, let me know this. 303-382-1150. Rick, calling from Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon. She is indeed suing Bush, and she isn't the only one. There's another lawyer by the name of Hilton, that he's somehow related to the Hilton fortune. And he's also suing, and he goes a little bit farther than this lawsuit goes.
What is she suing President for not revealing, for not sharing information? What exactly is the basis of the suit?
Basically, it was that he had prior knowledge with his that things were going to happen, and he did nothing.
Well, when is anybody going to hear this suit? Is she suing in federal court? Where is she suing?
She is suing in out of Philadelphia, U.S. District Court there.
Okay. A federal court?
Yes, it's a federal court. And she made a pretty compelling case when I heard her interview. I just happened to be flipping the dials and caught her talking about this morning.
Well, I think this is fascinating, and she certainly asks some very important questions. And for some reason, the administration is stonewalling on all of this.
The other thing that I've heard a few times and have seemed to have disappeared, and I know it sounds crazy, but that the FAA was ordered by on stand down that morning because they were running supposed field trials on a terrorist field trial type deal the morning of September 11th, and that's why a lot of these why the planes made it through. And I've been trying to figure out, how would you ever check that sort of thing, whether it's an urban myth or, you know, one of those deals.
I'm not sure, but I just was handed some information about this woman. She's suing him under the RICO Act, which is Racketeer
right.
Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act. It's a federal court complaint against President Bush and cabinet members. Her attorney announced today that he is representing Ellen Mariani, and she is the wife of Louis Neil Mariani, who died when United Airlines Flight 175 was flown into the South Tower of the World Trade Center in 9/11. And he is saying that this is the case of Mariani v. Bush et al., and he's alleging that President Bush and officials included but not limited to Cheney, Ashcroft, Rumsfeld, and Feinberg, that they, one, had knowledge, warnings of 9/11 and failed to warn or take steps to prevent, two, had been covering up the truth of 9/11, and three, have therefore violated the laws of the United States, and four, are being sued under the Civil RICO Act. And I don't know why they're using RICO as a basis for the suit, but somebody who's an attorney can maybe let me know about that.
But if you could check into also the Hilton suit that was filed earlier, and it's multiple victims, And he goes a little farther than this.
Okay. I thank you very much, Rick, for the call. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. If you're just joining us, we started the program with Paul Krugman's article in his column in the New York Times, yesterday's New York Times, and I think it's in today's Denver papers, talking about Diebold voting machines. The head of Diebold, the president, has vowed to do everything he can to bring to reelect George W. reselect George W. Bush in the next election. Meanwhile, this touchscreen voting technology that Diebold has been championing seems not to be very effective. It doesn't seem to work. Their software there are product defects that are alleged, and there are some software problems, not to mention the fact that apparently you can hack into the system and never leave a trace of what you have done. So you will never know if you got a fair count. In California, what they have decided to do is to use paper ballots as well as any technology that they're going to be using. And since California is such a populous state, it is something like the fourth largest economy in the world, in the universe, on the planet, then what California does is typically a bellwether, and because the voting machine companies can sell so many to California, it may set the tone for every place else. But it certainly is a vexing thought to think that you would go in there and vote, and your vote would not be counted, or it would be altered in some way, and you would have no way of knowing whether your vote was properly counted. 303-382-1150. There is, if you're looking for weapons of mass destruction, they may be in Texas instead of in Iraq. Federal authorities have mounted one of the most extensive investigations of domestic terrorism since the Oklahoma City bombing, and this is according to CBS News. Now, I want to say something here. There are people I know who are very smart and very plugged in and very astute, and there seems to be some evidence that they're talking about that indicates that the Oklahoma City bombing had much larger implications and more people were involved than those that we know about, the Timothy McVeighs of this world, that it was some early act of terrorism. I don't know if that's true or if it's one of these urban legends, but I've heard people whose opinions I pretty much respect say that they believe that. 303-382-1150. So federal authorities now mounting one of the most extensive investigations of domestic terrorism since Oklahoma City. There are three people linked to white supremacist and anti-government groups. They're in custody. And at least one weapon of mass destruction, a sodium cyanide bomb capable of delivering deadly gas cloud, has been seized in a certain area of Texas. So some group has figured out some way to poison parts of Texas with a bomb, poisonous gas. There is the weapon of mass destruction, apparently. Don, calling from Englewood. Hi, you're live with Enan.
Yeah. I was just wanting to talk about the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what I can't figure out is why they want to sue George Bush. And it came out that George Bush in his security briefings have admitted that there was intelligence, raw intelligence, that said that they would use an airplane to destroy buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but when Al-Qaeda sat there and destroyed a naval vessel, didn't destroy it, but damaged it, killed 100 and some people, why didn't Clinton go out there and get them? Now, that was an act of war against the U.S. military.
Don, we're not talking about Clinton. We're talking about Bush. Two wrongs, as your mother told you when you were little, two wrongs don't make a right. Don't cite me Clinton. I want to know about Bush. This is the worst thing that's ever happened on American soil. This is very important. And for some reason, this administration is stonewalling. They won't answer questions. So she's going to try a lawsuit. Good luck to her. I don't know how far she's going to get, but I got to give her credit for doing it.
That ship is American soil. They found out who did it.
What does this have to do with 9/11, Don? Don, don't cite me Clinton. I mean, if that's the only thing you've got to go on, you don't have a case. Talk to me about Bush. Talk to me about right now. Don't talk to me about a previous administration that's years old. Talk to me about right now. Talk to me about, talk to me about why President Bush has not answered the questions for the 9/11 commissions and for their widows that are involved or the survivors.
Oh, excuse me. I think he has. He didn't turn it over to the full commission, but they selected four people that could...
No, they're stonewalling. They won't release documents, and they are stonewalling the commission.
Well, they're not going to release them to the general public.
No, we're not telling them to release them to the general public. They are supposed to release them. You know what? Arm yourself with some information. Do some homework. Look it up. Read a newspaper once in a while, will you? I would appreciate that. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Some stations brag about serving 35 states. We're proud to serve Denver. Local radio, AM 1150 KNRC.
Chocolate and the holidays, they just go together. Kind of like chocolate and romance, chocolate and dessert, chocolate and sex. Well, Greg Dobbs here, and maybe it's just me, but I think chocolate goes well with everything. And if you agree, you may want to try a taste of the best chocolate in Denver at Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. In fact, you might want to give your holiday gifts in chocolate, the finest Belgian chocolate you can find. In the shapes you want, I've ordered some dark chocolate microphones as gifts, inscribed with my message and my name for a few lucky recipients. Imagine something representing your product or your hobby, or maybe you'd like a chocolate company logo or just a business card in succulent chocolate. Whatever you want, they can do it. And wherever you want it to go, they can safely send it. Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. You can see more about what they do at their website, denverchocolate.com. But to smell it and taste it, they've always got wonderful samples to taste. Drop by. They're not actually on Fifth Avenue. They're on Steel Street in Cherry Creek North between 2nd and 3rd. Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. Oh, it's great.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. What you can't see can hurt you. Pollen, mold spores, dust, and dander can drive allergies crazy. That's why you should purify the air in your home with an Orrick tabletop air cleaner. Use one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. And who knows, you may end up using a few less allergy pills.
It seems that once one person gets a cold, it's only a matter of time before it's passed on to everyone else. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues with 3 germ-blocking layers help keep germs where they belong. Thank goodness for Kleenex Tissue.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. This holiday season, give a gift that is so unique and lasting, the recipient will remember it for years to come. Have a star named after them. We can name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. The gift package will be personalized and the star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. For the gift that shines forever.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Many young Americans have a learning difference that makes it difficult to reach their full academic potential. Research indicates that more than 40% of our population fits this description. Denver Academy specializes in teaching students with learning differences. If your child's not experiencing the academic success in school you want, contact Denver Academy at 303-777-5161 or go online to denveracademy.org.
Need a serious tool for the really tough jobs? Introducing Duralast Tools from AutoZone. Professional-grade tools with a lifetime warranty. Duralast Tools, now available at AutoZone.
Talk to Lionel.
Everybody's trying to reinvent this thing called dating, meeting. Oh, here's one for you. This one says she's fun-loving. You know, there's nothing better than somebody who loves fun. Really, I love ethnic food, now here we go, and 80s movies. You know what we should have? Dumbass! I'm a semi-literate who doesn't know what to say. Basically what they're saying is, do you really care what movies I like? Here's my picture!
Lionel, weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Hallett. Join me weekday afternoon from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:55 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. We're midweek, and it's all downhill from here. But, boy, I'll tell you what's really going to be downhill. Christmas is coming up very quickly, and so is Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, too. So it means everybody's going to be out shopping. I don't know if you remember this, but I was just thinking about it lately. This is some time ago, weeks and weeks and weeks ago. I'm looking at the English newspapers online. And I see that they are reporting that the that our people in Iraq or our people with in consultation with the people, you know, the regime in Washington, the administration in Washington, are in negotiation with Saddam Hussein's people. And that he wants safe passage and he wants it to, I don't know, one of the stands. I forget one of the countries that he wants safe passage to. And the whole idea is that they're going to sort of screw him around a little bit so that they can, you know, get closer and closer and closer to him and then bring him in. Well, I didn't hear anything more about it. I never saw that story reported in any of the American papers, only in the English papers for some reason. And now here is TalkingPointsMemo.com, Joshua Michael Marshall. We've had him on, and he writes some interesting stuff. And he says, yesterday, in an editorial meeting with a local newspaper, he said, Ray LaHood, who's a Republican from Illinois, or just, this was several days ago, was asked about the impact of Iraq on next year's election. LaHood replied that the U.S. is on the verge of capturing Saddam Hussein, and once that happens, the resistance will collapse. When a member of the paper's editorial board asked LaHood if he knew something they didn't know, the five-term congressman who sits on the House Intelligence Committee said, yes, I do. So the question is, does he know something, or is he blowing smoke? Well, he sits on the Intelligence Committee, and I'm putting it together with that story I saw reported in the UK, but I never saw it reported in this country, that they were, our people were in negotiation with Saddam Hussein's people, and the whole idea was to sort of trick them so that they could finally figure out where Saddam Hussein was and bring him in. That what Saddam Hussein wanted was safe passage to some other country. So I just think this is interesting. Keep our eyeballs open and see if Ray LaHood, who's a Republican from Illinois, sitting on the House Intelligence Committee, he seems to know something, and he seems to feel like we're on the verge of capturing Saddam Hussein. Let's see if that actually comes to pass. 303-382-1150. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about high-tech voting and whether you can trust it. We've been talking about one of the victims of the 9/11. His wife is suing President Bush under the RICO Act. And I think part of this has been cut off. My cousin sent it to me, and I hope it's too much of it hasn't been cut off. But it's called Might As Well Dance. It was written by an 83-year-old. Have you heard about this? She says, I'm reading more and dusting less. I'm sitting in the garden and admiring the view without fussing about the weeds. I'm spending more time with my family and less time working. And wherever possible, life should be a pattern of experiences to savor, not to endure. I'm trying to recognize these moments now and cherish them. I'm not saving anything. We use our good china for every special event, such as losing a pound or the first amaryllis blossom. I wear my good blazer to the market. I'm not saving my good perfume for a special party. I'm wearing it for clerks in the hardware store and tellers in the bank. And someday, in one of these days, are losing their magic. If it's worth seeing or hearing or doing, I can see and hear and do it now. I'm not sure what others would have done had they known that they wouldn't be here for tomorrow, that we all take so for granted. So I think these are some words to live by, and there's more to it. And the side of it has been cut off, so I'm trying to improvise. But if you have one of these, send me along another copy, and I'll try to print it out in the right way. Joe Anderson, you did a great job today. Thank you so much. So did you, Jordan Lyles. Thanks to all of you for calling and listening. Doug Kellett is up next from 3 to 6 right here on AM 1150, and then Dominic and Billy from 6 to 9, Greg Dobbs from 6A to 10A, and Bill O'Reilly from 10 to noon. I'll see you tomorrow, noon to 3 on KNRC. Do something generous. Leave the world a better place. I'm Ina Goldstein. Have a great evening. I'll see you tomorrow at noon.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 55 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by South Central Marriott Hotels. Colorado schools are getting better. Here's Governor Bill Owens.
The number of children attending unsatisfactory schools has dropped 81% in just 2 years, falling to 4,320 students.
The state school accountability report was released today, and the governor explained why there was a drop in the number of students attending unsatisfactory schools.
The entire system of standards, accountability, I'd put funding in that mix as well. I'm proud of what we as an administration did And we've certainly been putting additional resources into our public schools.
Colorado Education Commissioner William Maloney said that today validates the fact that Colorado school reform is working. Lakewood police yesterday arrested 27-year-old Matthew Miguel Dalton on charges of child abuse. The arrest is the result of an investigation that began on November 24th when St. Anthony's Hospital staff notified police that a two-month-old girl had been admitted and was being treated for injuries that appeared to be the result of non-accidental trauma. The infant was moved to Children's Hospital in Denver, where it was determined that the baby had injuries that were consistent with shaken baby syndrome. There was also evidence of previous injuries, including